Senate says the time has come.
We're not casting blame. We're not finger pointing. We need to remember the words of Lincoln: with malice towards none, with charity for all. You know, we have to bind up our nation's wounds and care for those who have borne the battle, bring our troops home.
But the White House believes setting a timetable would send the wrong message to the insurgents. Well, the ground was shaking again today in Southern California. The U.S. Geological Survey's Dr. Lucy Jones says today's 4.9 quake was just big enough to get your attention.
I would expect that anyone that was not in a car, not walking around or running, would probably have felt it. That's not a surprising fact.
Today's quake was the state's third in the last week. President Bush is kicking off a campaign to alert the nation's senior citizens to a new benefit. Starting in January, Medicare is going to begin offering a prescription drug program. Nancy Reagan on the mend tonight after taking a nasty fall in London. The 84-year-old former First Lady was treated at a hospital and released. This is CNN Radio News.
Okay, you want to find a better car insurance rate, so you curl up with a good phone book. And soon you realize this could take a lifetime. It's time to think easier. Think Progressive. With one call to Progressive, you'll get our direct rate and the rates of our top competitors. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and get all the information you need with just one phone call.
Available mostly in situations. Progressive Halcyon Insurance Company and affiliates, Medford Village, Ohio.
Daddy, Pops, Father. No matter how you say it, their special day is near. And Overstock.com is here to help you say Happy Father's Day with savings up to 70% on name brand products. How about a new watch for all the times he so lovingly watched over you? Or even a pair of running shoes for all the times he ran after you or walked through a difficult situation, even if you can't decide. Overstock.com has it all, including gift certificates. And shipping is only $2.95 for your entire order. Shop at Overstock.com and make your pappy happy.
Police in San Jose, California are asking for the public's help in identifying possible victims of a man they call a serial child molester. Police Lieutenant Scott Cornfield says Dean Schwartzmiller is one of the most active child molesters he's ever seen.
His records indicate that he has molested children in Mexico and in Brazil. And in fact, we know he was extradited from Brazil on one of the cases in the United States.
Police say the victims could number in the thousands. Roman Catholic bishops are meeting in Chicago this week where they're considering changing the way they handle sex abuse cases. David Clossy is director of a victim support group, and he is not happy.
There are changes that undermine the independence and effectiveness of the lay panel that bishops created to oversee the crisis. There are changes that give bishops more discretion in handling abuse cases.
Another proposal now being considered would change the actual definition of sex abuse. This is news from CNN Radio. Your next trip to the Big Apple might include a visit to the site of the 9/11 attacks, and our Gary Baumgarten says two interim memorials are going up on that site.
They are a Ground Zero Visitor and Learning Center called Tribute NYC, and a booth where people touched by the attacks can record oral histories of the event for posterity. Stefan Pryor is president of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation.
We announced two more pieces under the governor's leadership, the StoryCorps Story Booth and the Tribute Center.
Pushing for the Tribute Center were a group of relatives of people who died on 9/11, many of whom will be leading tours around the World Trade Center site to answer the questions of people who make the pilgrimage to Ground Zero. Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio, New York.
And you knew this was coming. CBS is planning a big-budget miniseries on the life of the late Pope John Paul. No word on who's going to play the part of the big guy. I'm Greg Black. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Randy Rhodes, loud and left, here on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
I think that if Howard Dean has to apologize for calling white people white and Christian people Christian, then maybe Bush could apologize for killing 1,600 American soldiers, you know, because he lied. Every time Democrats want to focus on Republicans are doing, Republicans focus on what Democrats are saying.
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike 92.1.com.
This is Deputy Randy Wiesinger from the Dane County Sheriff's Office. Have you noticed how many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are riding motorcycles these days? There is a safety problem in that motorcycles are smaller and somewhat harder to see. One of the leading causes of motorcycle crashes is the failure to yield right-of-way by other vehicles, often caused by the tendency to underestimate the speed of the oncoming cycles as well as their inherent lack of visibility. With the motorcycle season upon us, the Safe Communities Coalition and the Dane County Sheriff's Office want to remind you to watch for and respect the motorcycles on the road.
On Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic, 92.1.
This is an individual who voted against the war in the first place and is simply trying to rehash old debates that have already been addressed. And our focus is not on the past. It's on
well, Truth Seeker, that was simple Scotty McClellan today. Trying desperately to dismiss the importance of today's John Conyers forum on the Downing Street transcripts that show how Bush lied to falsify evidence to strike at Iraq. We will have some sound from that hearing, and also some comments from this moron who is the White House press secretary. One exchange between McClellan and Terry Moran from ABC you've got to hear. And we're going to provide all this for you tonight on this, the 46th day. The 46th day since the Times of London reported the existence of those secret minutes of the meetings that laid out for the highest-ranking members of the Blair government the Bush plans for starting a war based on absolute lies and false intelligence. Now, since that war began, 1,718 Americans have been killed. Thousands of American soldiers have had their legs and arms and hands and fingers blown off. They have been blinded. They have had their internal organs blown to pieces. Tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians, including an uncounted number of children and babies, have been murdered by the United States. So why isn't the liberal American media reporting this story on this, the 46th day since the Times of London reported the existence of these minutes? Why isn't it being reported on the front page of every newspaper every day, and why is it not the lead story on every television newscast, and why is there not a collective demand from responsible media in this country for the resignation of both Bush and Cheney? These people are war criminals. They are war criminals. Bush and Cheney and the people who are now managing the affairs of the United States are war criminals. Now, if you want to see some pictures of some photographs of John Conyers delivering the signatures to the White House, go to bradblog.com, B-R-A-D-B-L-O-G, bradblog.com. I'm sure there are a lot of sites, but this is the first I've gotten this evening, first one across the transom here, so to speak. So go there, bradblog.com. Scroll down just a little bit. There are three, four photos right there on the main page, and he has a link where you can see some more. So if you want some photos of these 542,000 names on these petitions and 122 members of the legislative branch of this government, all these names and signatures being delivered to this criminal enterprise locked behind the gates of the White House, go to bradblog.com and you'll see them. The thing that was most striking to me visually about
the hearings today were the same. Was the same thing that was most striking to you? I've had closets bigger than the room that Conyers and Nadler and Maxine and the rest of these people were forced to hold their hearing in. But I'll tell you, that group that was there, that group of members of Congress, men and women, these men and women are a clear example of what patriotism is in this country in the age of Bush. Barney Frank, Nadler, Maxine Waters, John Conyers. I think Shirley Jackson Lee there, I believe. Sheila Jackson Lee, I believe. And then, of course, the witnesses, Ray McGovern, Joe Wilson. Who else testified? Ray Boniface, or John Boniface. Barbara Lee is what I'm trying to say here. Cindy Sheehan. Representative Jim Moran was there also, a Democrat from Virginia. So the members of Congress who showed up, and by the way, the evil bastards that run the House of Representatives, that would be the psychopathic bug killer Tom DeLay and his Klansmen, the KKK that now runs the United States government. They kept calling for votes so these members of Congress would have to leave, which was fine. They didn't give a tinker's damn. They were willing to play the game. They had their hearings. It was televised by C-SPAN. It was streamed. There were people there recording this initial move to remove these murderous bastards from office. But if you wanted to see the face of patriots, real patriots, not these posturing right-wing neo-Nazis and their Christian cohorts, if you really wanted to see patriots today, look at the white and black faces of these members of Congress, who, against all odds and against the dirty, filthy machinations of Tom DeLay and James Sensenbrenner and Denny Hastert, had to hold their hearing in a basement room, a damn broom closet is what it looked like, on the sort of folding tables that you and I have in our basements that we bring out when we're going to have a party. Ah, the bastards. But they were there because patriots don't care if they're forced to hold their meeting in a basement or in a stadium or on the street. They'll do it. And when the history of this era is written, I hope to hell that somebody writes about the persistence and the bravery and the dedication and the determination to save this republic that is John Conyers. Now, there are others, but John Conyers is the man who keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. But I'm sure you have the same feeling. It was almost claustrophobic. I'm watching this in the kitchen, feeding Molly this afternoon. And the sense of claustrophobia from that damn hateful little room with people forced to stand up against the wall. Ah, these rotten Republicans. These filthy, filthy, filthy Republicans. They shouldn't even be allowed to use the name Republic. But the testimony went on. Let's do a little bit here. We got time before this first break, Kathy? All right, let's do Joe Wilson, Ambassador to Iraq. Author of the book, The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to the War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. He also wrote the New York Times op-ed in July 2003, What I Didn't Find in Iraq. And it was in that op-ed piece that he said, the question now is how that answer, the finding that Iraq did not obtain uranium from Niger, was not used by our political leadership. Wilson said today, my question appears to have been answered by the Downing Street memo. The administration was fixing the facts to fit the policy it wanted. It's incorrect, Wilson said, for anyone to state that this is old news, since we supposedly all knew that Bush wanted war under any circumstances. Until the 2004 election, a majority of Americans mistakenly thought we found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Now, this is also the Joe Wilson whose wife, Valerie Plame, was outed by Robert Novak, this filthy media whore whose face still shows up on CNN. Why, I have no idea. He should be fired. He should be jailed. Robert Novak broke the law. All right, Joe Wilson, as soon as we come back, stay with us. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
I'd like to know who leaked. And if anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker. The face, the blood will run. Shake off this mortal coil and trade your blood for oil.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. You listen to the talk. Remember to walk the walk. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Lauer, and Sunday night, the Discovery Channel and I want to find out who's your greatest American.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
George Washington.
Who's done the most to shape your culture?
Oprah Winfrey.
Who's changed the way you live?
Muhammad Ali.
Now you get to vote and decide in Greatest American, hosted by me, Matt Lauer.
For the people, by the people.
This Sunday, see who's made it to the top five and cast your vote as the countdown to number one continues. Greatest American, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, and every Sunday in June on the Discovery Channel.
What's more delectable than caviar, more indulgent than curling up on cashmere, and more satisfying than purring the day away? New Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold Dry Cat Food.
At last.
At last, a dry cat food good enough to be called Fancy Feast. Your cat will be in absolute bliss. Visit FancyFeast.com to find out how you can receive a free sample of new Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
The number one problem the military has right now is not funding. Heck, they've gotten all the money they want from this Republican Congress. The number one problem the military has right now is recruiting. The American people aren't sold on this. So now, if that is the case, they're going to call in the markers on this because they have to, because the American people aren't signing up.
Straight talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right. The last time I saw Paul was in the late summer of 2002, about 6 weeks before he died in a plane crash. It was an evening event in the Twin Cities. Paul was in the middle of an intense, dead-even Senate race. He'd been targeted as vulnerable by the National Republican Party, and money was flowing in from around the country for his opponent, a suit named Norm Coleman. Paul was fighting for his political life. The first thing he asked me was, "How's your mom?" I told Paul I had just visited her. It was tough, I said. I couldn't even have a conversation with her. Paul nodded and said, "You know, touch means so much." The next day, I took my mom out into the nursing home garden in her wheelchair. It was a beautiful day. I sat next to her for a couple of hours with my arm around her. I can't tell you whether it meant a thing to her, but it meant a lot to me. So that was Paul. Touch means so much wasn't the kind of thing you'd hear from a Michael Dukakis. I, along with innumerable people, loved Paul Wellstone for what he stood for what he fought for, and for who he was. I loved his wife Sheila, too. I don't think I ever saw Paul without Sheila by his side. Paul died on October 25th, 2002, when his plane went down in northern Minnesota. Sheila, his daughter Marcia, his driver Will McLaughlin, two other close aides, Tom Lapick and Mary McAvoy, and two pilots died with him. 4 days later, C-SPAN, along with almost every Minnesota TV and radio station, carried a hastily put together memorial service for Paul, Sheila, Marcia, Will, Tom, and Mary. I was there. It was a beautiful memorial, sometimes incredibly sad, sometimes funny, sometimes rowdy, and sometimes political. Some people watching on television were offended. Some people were moved. But the right saw an opening. They took moments out of context, lied about the rest, and used it as a political club to attack the Democrats. It won them the Senate in Minnesota and probably in Missouri, which means it gave Republicans control of the Senate.
Mike. My favorite show is Randy Rhoads, because I'm a New York Jew at heart.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike, 92.1.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. Before we play this first soundbite of Joe Wilson, the former ambassador to Iraq, just a round of applause to the blogs and the people who are doing Joshua Micah Marshall and the Brad blog and the Raw Story figures. I mean, just don't you know, bitch me out now because I left somebody out. You know, all the blogs, all of them. There are so many. They now comprise the free and independent press in this country. If it weren't for the blogs, the Downing Street memo story would have died on the vine and there wouldn't have been any Conyers hearings today, I don't think. Corporate media has become a sump hole of nothing. It's celebrity news, earthquakes, bat squeeze, and war. That's all it is. If you want investigative journalism, it's all in the blogosphere. God, that happened quick, didn't it? I watched CBS, a bit of CBS tonight. What else? Kathy, you watched NBC. You flipped around. Not a single mention. Did you see a mention of...
Now, I was jumping around a lot because I wanted to see if anybody said anything, but now I could have missed something. But on the Alphabet Networks, I saw nothing, not a peep about the Conyers hearings today or the letter he delivered and the resulting demonstration. Nothing.
I forgot to mention Charles Rangel, who is also, you know, the congressman from New York. And there were more. All the members of Congress who were there, who keep pushing this issue. Again, when the history of this period in our country is written, if we retain our independence, if we can recapture what is real freedom in this country. Then these people who are at this meeting this morning or this afternoon have got to be written about as primary characters who brought this about. God bless them. Joe Wilson, on the hideous mess in Iraq that Bush and his crime family has needlessly created and the need to withdraw now.
We must not take our eye off the ball in Iraq. The situation is a mess, and by all accounts, not soon to improve. We were told in the run-up to the war that there would be fewer than 30,000 troops in Iraq within a year of the invasion. There are four times that many there now. We are now told that we must stay lest the country fall into sectarian violence, but it is in the midst of sectarian strife as we speak, and there is no reason to believe that our departure now or 5 years from now will change the nature of that violence. Our continued presence will, however, guarantee more American deaths and more people who hate us for what we have done and from whose ranks increasing numbers of terrorists will be drawn. I don't have the answer, but I do believe that the time has come for us to ask the question, is our presence in Iraq part of the solution or part of the problem? And in answering that question, I believe we should elicit the views of Iraq's neighbors, our allies, the international community at large, and experts in this country, and not just the same cabal of ideologues whose policy prescriptions foisted upon a frightened nation in the aftermath of the terrible tragedy of 9/11 have been shown to be so terribly flawed.
It's astonishing when you listen to that, when you step back and listen to a former ambassador, when you listen to somebody who has been totally and completely on the inside of how this filthy, cabal of thugs and killers that now run this country, how they operate. It's incredible. I mean, it's almost like, no. This can't be happening. I need to watch something else. I need to go mow the lawn. I need to wash the car. You know, I need to just get this out of my head. I find it almost incredible. And this has happened incrementally. And Bush today is talking about how the upcoming elections in Iran, whether they're legit or not, is absolutely nothing for Bush to comment on. Bush was saying today that, what did he say? I've got it here someplace. Oh, Jesus. I've got too much stuff here. But Bush was saying today that the Iranian election is fraudulent because, and then he lists the reasons why it will be fraudulent, and they're the very same reasons that give his filthy administration its oxygen. He might as well have been talking about his own criminal enterprise. It's unbelievable. But it's so difficult, is it not, to listen to this stuff and think, Jesus Christ in heaven, this is America. This stuff is going on in America. They're not talking about Pol Pot. They're not talking about Stalin. They're not talking about Hitler. They're not talking about some half-witted, half-assed dictator in some South American country. They're talking about the administration that runs America. Or I should say the United States. All right, Ray McGovern when we come back. And John Bonifaz and Cindy Sheehan and Jim Rand. Stick around. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Moms can't discern. They just destroy all in their path. Will we ever learn? How many Iraqis per gallon? On this endless killing spree. How many kids can you kill? And send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids to soccer practice.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. All day, every day. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Bob,
you can take this job.
Take this job and shove it. So you're quitting, huh?
Yep.
I bet you're going to start your own business.
Right.
What do you know about starting a business? You're going to buy a business, start from scratch. How about startup money?
Well,
you even know where to get startup money?
That my brother.
Got a business plan? Can't raise money to start a business without a business plan.
I can't.
You're pathetic. You need Bruce Berman's book. It's called I Got Here, You Can Too: A Master's Course in Becoming a Millionaire. Want to be a millionaire, Bob?
That's the idea.
You got to buy his book. It shows exactly how Berman made a fortune in business and how you can too. Want a profitable business, Bob?
Uh huh. Sure.
Thanks, Bob. This is Bruce Berman. If you want to make $5, $10, even $15,000 a month right now from the comfort of your own home, then you don't have to buy my book. I will give you a free copy of my book and my Making Money CD. That's over a $100 value. This limited time free offer is available only on my website, 9freebook.com. That's the number 9freebook.com. That's the number 9freebook.com. You could be making money within 30 days, guaranteed. So log on to 9freebook.com now.
Listen to Mother Jones Radio every Sunday on Air America. Mother Jones Radio brings you investigative reporting and razor-sharp commentary on today's most important news. On the premiere show, Mother Jones Radio talks with FDA whistleblower Dr. David Graham. When he discovered a deadly secret about the painkiller Vioxx, FDA officials told him to keep quiet. Now he's exposing the full story on Mother Jones Radio. Mother Jones Radio. Every Sunday on Air America Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Lauer, and Sunday night, the Discovery Channel and I want to find out who's your greatest American.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
George Washington.
Who's done the most to shape your culture?
Oprah Winfrey.
Who's changed the way you live?
Muhammad Ali.
Now you get to vote and decide in Greatest American, hosted by me, Matt Lauer.
For the people, by the people.
This Sunday, see who's made it to the top five and cast your vote as the countdown to number one continues. Greatest American, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And every Sunday in June on the Discovery Channel.
She's fed up with the right, aren't you? The Randy Rhoads Show, here on the mic, 92.1.
So, everything Terri Schiavo's husband said, and everything her doctor said, and everything the court-appointed doctors said was true. But it's worse. She hadn't just lost part of her brain. She lost half of her brain. She wasn't responding to light. She was blind. She had osteoporosis so bad that the weight of her own body was breaking her bones. And all those so-called experts, the pro-lifers, pulled out of their behinds facts. Facts that were just sadistic. They were charlatans. And they lied. The neurologist that Fox News said was nominated for a Nobel Prize was never nominated for anything. And somehow, he missed that this patient had only half a brain. And all those charges that Michael Schiavo abused his wife. Garbage. Everything I told you was right. Everything the pro-lifers and Bill Frist and Jeb Bush and Tom DeLay and Rick Santorum and Sean Hannity and on and on. Everything they said were lies. And they did it for political purposes. So nobody wins here. An innocent woman was kept alive and tortured for politics. So Bill Frist could pander to the pro-lifers so he could run for president. So Tom DeLay could threaten the judges who let Terry Schiavo die with mercy. So George W. Bush could take attention away from how many perfectly healthy people he was sending to their deaths in Iraq. Politicians have abused and tortured a helpless woman in a vegetative state. And they vilified and humiliated a grieving husband who did nothing but take care of her for 15 years. Congress kicked its dirty feet in a family's private tragedy. And the press babbled. All the right-wing slop they were fed. Every damn one of them owes Michael Schiavo and this country an apology. And they better pray to their God for forgiveness today. I'm Randy Rhodes, and I approve this message.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, welcomes the outspoken and hilarious Bill Maher to the Orpheum Theater.
We'll definitely be there.
We'll reward open mic club members with tickets to see Bill Maher.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not a member? Go to themike921.com and join today.
This is Kate from Partyville, and I'm on the mic, and I'm going to see Bill Maher.
Get tickets at the Orpheum box office and Ticketmaster outlets.
Oh, great.
Bill Maher, brought to you by Jam, Last Coast True Endeavors, and the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
On August 16, the INS arrested Zacharias Moussaoui, a flight school student who seemed to have little interest in learning to take off or land a plane. The arresting agent wrote that Moussaoui seemed like, quote, the type of person who could fly something into the World Trade Center. Trying to pique the interest of FBI headquarters in Washington, a Minneapolis FBI agent wrote that a 747 loaded with fuel could be used as a weapon. If this information had been shared and analyzed, for example, by a newly founded Homeland Security agency, it might have sparked memories of the Clinton-thwarted 1996 Al-Qaeda plot to hijack an American commercial plane and crash it into CIA headquarters. On August 26, still on the ranch, Bush discussed with reporters the difference between his two dogs. Spot's a good runner. You know, Barney, terriers are bred to go into holes and pull out varmint. And Spotty chases birds. Spotty's a great water dog. I'll go fly fishing this afternoon on my lake. And you know something? He did just that. Among those left to swelter in the D.C. heat that August was one Thomas J. Pickard. No fly fishing for him.
Hey, Night Owls. If you missed Al or Randy today, don't worry. We'll get you caught up on the mic overnight. I'm Mike Malloy on the Mic 92.1.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, right after we do these sound bites from today's Conyers hearing, Symbol Man from Take Back the Media will join us with a report. So he's on the line now. We're going to ask him to hold on a second. Also, Tim emailed in. The Lehrer NewsHour covered the Conyers hearing. Tim writes, they interviewed the ex-CIA guy, that would be Ray McGovern, and covered the subject pretty well. They mentioned there was more than one memo and quoted passages from several of them. Considering, they did pretty good. Thanks, Tim. All right, speaking of Ray McGovern, here he is. He's a 27-year career analyst with the CIA. And, the memo, or the minutes, fits in with other things we found out since the invasion, like revelations by former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill that Bush and others wanted to go after Iraq from the start. The As members of the Steering Committee for Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, that's the name of his organization, McGovern and his co-author were among the authors of the article Cooking Intelligence for War, which appeared just before the invasion of Iraq. Now, what McGovern does here, first he reminds the audience of Condoleezza Rice's statement from July 2001, and Colin, is that right? And Colin Powell's statement from February of 2001? Okay, even before 9/11, all right. Statements that Iraq was contained and posed no threat to anyone. Then in this clip, you'll hear McGovern say he'll deconstruct just one of the many administration lies about Iraq, and that was Cheney's assertion that Iraq had designs on a nuclear weapon. In reality, what Cheney did, what that pig did, was twist the intelligence 180 degrees to suit his bloodlust or oil lust, whatever the hell it is. These people belong in prison.
Less than 5 weeks after the briefing at 10 Downing Street, Vice President Cheney gave a major speech in which he said, and I quote, "We now know that Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons. Among other sources, we've gotten this from the first-hand testimony of defectors, including Saddam's own son-in-law." This was a lie. Saddam's son-in-law, Hussein Kamil, told us just the opposite when he defected in 1995. Again, he told us just the opposite. You can find it on page 13 of his debriefing report. He said, and I quote, "All weapons, biological, chemical, missile, nuclear, were destroyed," end quote. How did Kamil know this? He was in charge. They were destroyed in July of 1991 at his order. And everything else Hussein Kamil told us checked out to be true. Now, Cheney's lie would have been able to stand were it not for the conscience of another patriotic whistleblower who gave the text of Kamel's debriefing to Newsweek. 4 weeks before the war, as the drumbeat for war got louder and louder in early 2003, Newsweek broke the story on February 24th, 2003, several weeks before the attack, but the information was suppressed by U.S. media.
Information was suppressed by U.S. media, which is kind of what they're doing now. Paul in Quorum, New York writes in, "Mike, the spacious characterization by some of the Downing Street memo as not newsworthy, since we've, quote, heard all this before, is comparable to not bothering to call the fire department since the occupants of the burning building already know it's on fire. It's about accountability. And there's hell to pay. We can imagine both an impeachment and a withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq." Now, John Bonifaz, one of the witnesses, he's the author of Warrior King, The Case for Impeaching George W. Bush, and he's co-founder of the AfterDowningStreet.org coalition, which is urging Congress to begin a formal investigation into whether Bush and his thugs committed impeachable offenses in connection with this miserable war. Now, in this soundbite, Bonifaz explains how Bush has committed an impeachable offense by fixing the intelligence to fit his warmongering abuse of power and abuse of the public trust. And he explains how the memo gives sufficient evidence to impeach because it proves Bush's official letter to Congress, March 18, 2003, which detailed his rationale to invade Iraq, was a lie. And it's a felony to lie to Congress.
The Downing Street minutes shed new and important light on a document the President himself submitted to the United States Congress within 48 hours after having launched the invasion of Iraq. In the letter, dated March 18, 2003, the President makes a formal determination, as required by the joint resolution on Iraq passed by the United States Congress in October 2002. That military action against Iraq was necessary to, quote, protect the national security of the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq. If the evidence revealed by the Downing Street minutes is true, then the President's submission of his March 18, 2003 letter to the United States Congress would violate federal criminal law, including the federal anti-conspiracy statute, which makes it a felony, quote, to commit any offense against the United States or to defraud the United States or any agency thereof in any manner or for any purpose. And the False Statements Accountability Act of 1996, which makes it a felony to issue knowingly and willfully false statements to the United States Congress. The United States House of Representatives has a constitutional duty to investigate fully and comprehensively the evidence revealed by the Downing Street minutes and other related evidence, and to determine whether there are sufficient grounds to impeach George W. Bush, the President of the United States.
And his entire cadre of ex-Nazis, Klan members, and thugs. Jesus, these people need to go. Think about the rhetoric. The greased, high-powered, explosive rhetoric against Bill Clinton because he lied about a little afternoon diddle with his girlfriend. Think. Remember. Remember Henry Hyde and the rest of these squatting thugs, these toadstool dwelling. God, I can't. Oh, it just makes me furious to remember what happened back in 98 and 99. Compare that. Compare Clinton's crime or his sin or whatever the hell he did to what this murderous regime of Nazis has done to the United States of America. This Bush crime family. And now Cindy Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace. As you know, her son Casey was killed in Iraq. She said today, members of Congress, whether they are Democrats or Republicans, should do the right thing. They have a constitutional duty to investigate the facts surrounding the Downing Street memo. They didn't ask my son if he was a Democrat or Republican when he joined the military. These are life and death questions and should be treated that way. Here's Cindy Sheehan on the possible motivation for Bush to attack a nation who had done nothing to us to gain political capital if he ever became president. Now, this is a statement that Bush made while he was still governor of Texas in 1999 and clearly shows how criminal this freak's mind was even then.
The so-called Downing Street memo dated 23 July 2002 only confirms what I already suspected. The leadership of this country rushed us into an illegal invasion of another sovereign country on prefabricated and cherry-picked intelligence. Iraq was no threat to the United States of America, and the devastating sanctions and bombing raids against Iraq were working. As a matter of fact, in interviews in 1999 with respected journalists and longtime Bush family friend Mickey Herskowitz, then Governor George Bush stated, "One of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as commander-in-chief. My father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. If I have a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency," end quote. It looks like George Bush was ready to lead this country into an avoidable war even before he became president. It appears that my boy Casey was given a death sentence even before he joined the Army in May of 2000.
You know, when you listen to that, how can you not think anything other than that murderous son of a bitch? This disgrace, this filthy, filthy murderer who's in the White House, who was willing to sacrifice, so far, 1,720 American lives, 100,000 Iraqi lives, probably more than 1,720. If you believe some of the reports coming in, it's more like 6,000, 8,000 dead Americans. And this pig, that's right, pig, who squats in the White House, had no problem, none, with saying, "I'll start a war because it'll give me political capital and people will see me as a leader." Jesus, God, is that not an impeachable offense?
People you after them, why have we waited so long? Why didn't we
sought this out last time, was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is what radio sounds like when people believe what they're saying. This is the Mike, 92.1.
Hi, this is Larry King. Did you know that drinking a glass of delicious Welch's grape juice every day can actually help keep your heart healthy? It was news to me. But studies have shown that because Welch's 100% grape juice is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar, it's actually good for your heart. In fact, Welch's has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. But who's counting? I'm too busy enjoying the taste. Welch's grape juice. Isn't it nice to know that something as good as Welch's is good for your heart, too?
From TNT, executive producer Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks Television, a six-week television event. From the first Wagon West to a clash of two nations.
The white men are like locusts.
From the California Gold Rush to a railroad that united a country.
I came out west to make my fortune.
This summer's most anticipated television event, Into the West. Three chances to watch every weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday starting this Friday at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
Politically.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, welcomes the outspoken and hilarious Bill Maher to the Orpheum Theater. We'll reward open mic club members with tickets to see Bill Maher.
Thank you.
Not a member? Go to themike921.com and join today.
Hi, this is Elvin from Madison. I'm on the mic, 92.1, and I'm going to see Bill Maher.
Get tickets at the Orpheum box office and Ticketmaster outlets.
Really?
Bill Maher, brought to you by Jam, Last Coast True Endeavors, and the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
When I do my corporate speeches, I normally talk to groups that are anywhere from 60 to 97% Republican. They know I'm a liberal, and they're normally aware that they're conservative, so sometimes they're a little nervous that I'll do jokes that make them uncomfortable or angry. Here's how I diffuse the situation. I say, as you can probably figure out from my book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, I'm a liberal, and I know you're conservative, and that's okay. See, I've discovered that Democrats can't afford me. Huge laugh. They love this. It makes them feel rich. Then I say, so what I do is I make fun of you, you laugh, and then you pay me. Another huge laugh. Now I can say pretty much anything I want, and they'll just laugh and pay me. Everybody's happy. Democrats are a different story. Unlike corporate events, which, by the way, I love, you can book me on the web, I speak to Democrats for free. I try not to do it too often because, you know, a guy's got to eat. So I pick and choose. And the Democrat I did the most speaking for over the years was Paul Wellstone. Part of it was that I grew up in Minnesota, and Paul knew my folks. In Wellstone's first campaign for the Senate in 1990, my dad was part of a senior citizen theater troupe that did skits for Paul at nursing homes. That's pretty grassroots, don't you think? My dad died in 1993, and my mom went downhill pretty fast. They had been married for 51 years. She got depressed and about 4 years ago went into a severe psychotic depression, which brought with it an exciting element of paranoia. One night at the hospital, I went up to one of the nurses and said, excuse me, it's kind of awkward to ask this, but I feel out of loyalty to my mom that I should. Go ahead, she said. Yeah, what I was wondering is, are you pumping poisonous gas into my mom's room? And are you videotaping her? And are you not really a nurse, but actually an actress who is trying to kill my mom? No, said the kindly nurse. I didn't think so, but I felt I had to ask. Fortunately, the doctors pulled Mom out of it with some miracle drug, but she's never really been the same.
Driving under the influence doesn't just mean alcohol. Many common prescriptions and over-the-counter medications, like some antihistamines and anti-anxiety medications, can also impair your ability to drive safely. For more, visit the National Safety Council at nsc.org.
Nerve? Tell us about it. On Madison's Progressive Voicemail, call 663-7291. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
It's like earning capital.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
That is that. Those are the comments of a murderer. These are the comments of a twit who doesn't give a damn about human life. He's got capital he's going to spend, so he brings blood and disaster to another country, to two other countries. 100,000 dead people in Iraq. 6,000 dead Americans. Ah, you filthy man, you filthy, filthy man. You've got capital. You're going to spend it. What is with this guy? This guy makes Nixon look like he had a soul. Representative Jim Moran, Democrat from Virginia. This is a back and forth here. He does the question, questions Ray McGovern, the former CIA agent. This is kind of long, a little over 2 minutes, but this is a Q&A, and it's very important and relevant because it shows Bush's motive to commit this felony. And it's also ironic because Jim Moran had to rush to get this question in, and on the record, before he had to go dash away to vote on today's legislation by Nancy Pelosi to demand an exit strategy in Iraq. Listen to this back and forth.
What I would like to do is to get back to why we did do it. We understand that the reasons that we were given were part of an endemic pattern of deceit. They were not the real reason. But what do you think was the real reason? It's been suggested that the oil companies were concerned. We were Saddam was giving contracts to Russia and France, and maybe that's what it was. We wanted to get control over the oil. It's been suggested that rather than being the president of a failed economy, which is a situation in 2003, that being commander-in-chief of a mighty military was a lot better political position to be in. It was a suggestion that while Iraq was no threat to the United States, Iraq could have been a threat to our ally in the Middle East. What was the real motivation in your mind for why we did go to war in Iraq?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah. I use the acronym OIL. O for oil, I for Israel, and L for the logistical base necessary or deemed necessary by the so-called neocons, and it reeks through all their documents, the logistical military base whereby the United States and Israel can dominate that area of the world. It's a very strategically important area of the world, mostly because it has oil, but also because Israel, which is traditionally described as our ally, and I don't know of any alliance we have with Israel, has been very influential in our policy. Witness the fact that the president, first President Bush's national security advisor, Scowcroft, has described the president as being mesmerized by Ariel Sharon, who has our president wrapped around his little finger. Okay? So what I'm saying here is oil was a major factor. Israel was another factor, and I have to say that Israel is something that is not allowed to be brought up in polite conversation. Last time I did this, a previous director of Central Intelligence called me anti-Semitic. And the other thing is the ideological strategic vision of the so-called neocons. You could see it in their documents. We are the sole remaining superpower in the world. We would be remiss in our duty were we not to use this power in every strategically important part of the world. And what's more important than the Middle East? That would be my answer, Congressman.
Mm. All right. You've got to ask yourself, as I did today, listening to, once again, these witnesses, stating for the record, because this does now make it part of the official record. James Sensenbrenner can go pound sand up his own rear end if he wants to. This is now part of the record. But I don't think you're hearing anything that you don't already know, except a reaffirmation from people who are there. You and I are not there. From a former CIA analyst, from a former ambassador, from a woman whose son was murdered by the Bush crime family. On and on. Folks who have irons in the fire that you and I don't. And so they now put the official face on all of this. And today I was thinking, how many times did Bush say in the drumbeat leading to war, military action is my last option. No president wants to commit troops to war. It's Hussein's choice to make. He can give up his weapons and avoid an attack. And every time Bush said that, he was lying through his teeth. A filthy, filthy liar. And today's testimony on these memos shows these statements for the massive lies that they are. What did Bush say last winter about criticism of his Iraq attack? We had an accountability moment, and then I won the election. Implying that since the American people maybe voted him into office, that proves they don't care that he lied and got us into a war. And so the press are just shut up about it. And they did. We have some press that's not going to shut up about it. Symbol Man, when we come back from Take Back the Media. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
In today's Washington Post, there's a story on media coverage of the Downing Street memo. In the piece, several prominent editors claim there was nothing new in the memo. Now, a lot of Bush bashers say the memo is evidence Bush rigged the pre-war intelligence. Maybe. Putting that aside, the memo notes that in July 2002, the British Prime Minister thought Bush's case for war was thin. It also says that the head of British intelligence was in Washington and had determined that Bush was already committed to the war. But at that time, Bush publicly said he would, quote, explore all options, diplomacy, international pressure, perhaps the military, end quote. So the memo shows Bush was misleading the public about his intentions and that his number one ally thought his chief reason for war was bunk. Tell me, how is that not as newsworthy as, say, a runaway bride? For more from The Nation, go to thenation.com. I'm David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation for Air America Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Lauer, and Sunday night, the Discovery Channel and I want to find out who's your greatest American.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
George Washington.
Who's done the most to shape your culture?
Oprah Winfrey.
Who's changed the way you live?
Muhammad Ali.
Now you get to vote and decide in Greatest American, hosted by me, Matt Lauer.
For the people, by the people.
This Sunday, see who's made it to the top five and cast your vote as the countdown to number one continues. Greatest American, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, and every Sunday in June on the Discovery Channel.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth. Put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now in three sizes at Rite Aid and other fine stores.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, welcomes the outspoken and hilarious Bill Maher to the Orpheum Theater.
You know, I like politically incorrect.
We'll reward open mic club members with tickets to see Bill Maher.
Thank you so much.
Not a member? Go to themike921.com and join today.
I'm Sarah from Madison. I'm on the mic, and I'm going to see Bill Maher.
Get tickets at the Orpheum box office and Ticketmaster outlets.
Cool.
Bill Maher, brought to you by Jam, Last Coast True Endeavors, and the Mike 92.1.
Wake up, sheeple! This is Chris Kurtz, and I'm on the mic.
Streaming online at themike921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut or a firefighter.
I'm going to work the streets, sell some drugs, make some money.
Kids are born with hope, but it can disappear if there's no one there to nurture it. Communities and schools helped almost 1 million children last year stay in school and prepare for life. We've been around for over 25 years and were named one of the 100 nonprofits most likely to save the world by Worth Magazine. Now just think what we could accomplish with your assistance. Call 1-800-CIS-4KIDS.
CNN Radio News, I'm Paul Chambers. A bipartisan group of lawmakers is calling for the return of U.S. troops from Iraq. Congressman Dennis Kucinich says the parameters must be set.
Sooner or later, we're going to leave Iraq. It's important that we start the planning now to leave, and the people of the United States now know that a plan exists to bring our troops home, and we're ready to put it in place, and I predict that it will gather more and more support as the people of the United States continue to insist that we bring our troops home.
The White House says such a plan would play into the hands of the insurgents. A vote on military spending has been postponed until Monday in the House. The measure will likely give the Pentagon an additional $45 billion for fighting the war on terror. A 4.9 earthquake shakes Southern California. CNN Radio's Peter Vile says the network's bureau in Los Angeles was shaking.
It only lasted about a second or so, but the building really did move underneath you. Again, though, headline, no injuries or damages that we've heard of, and there have been some aftershocks, which you would expect. We're told at least 25 aftershocks, the biggest of those, a 3.5, which is not super big, but this is something to watch. Three earthquakes in California in 5 days, two of them just 60 miles apart.
The quake was centered east of Los Angeles. The trial of Edgar Ray Killen was postponed after the 80-year-old part-time preacher was hospitalized.
Edgar Killen was wheeled out of the courthouse on the stretcher. He had oxygen tubes that had been placed on him. We had asked his wife how Mr. Killen was feeling, and she said she didn't know what was going
on. Ed Lavandera reports Killen is on trial for the murders of three civil rights workers 41 years ago. The Reverend Billy Graham confirms to CNN's Larry King Live that the New York Crusade will likely be his last. Graham has been America's foremost evangelist for decades. This is CNN Radio News.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Lauer, and Sunday night, the Discovery Channel and I want to find out who's your greatest American.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
George Washington.
Who's done the most to shape your culture?
Oprah Winfrey.
Who's changed the way you live?
Muhammad Ali.
Now you get to vote and decide in Greatest American, hosted by me, Matt Lauer.
For the people, by the people.
This Sunday, see who's made it to the top five and cast your vote as the countdown to number one continues. Greatest American, Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, and every Sunday in June on the Discovery Channel.
Welcome to Sears Auto Center.
Hi, do you sell Michelin tires?
Sure do. In fact, it's Michelin's 40th anniversary at Sears, and all Michelin tires are on sale at our lowest prices of the season.
Okay, well, I'd like
In fact, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale ever.
Wow, that's great, but I just
And you can shop at Sears while you wait.
That is why I'm here. Look, here's my cell number. Oh. I'll take a set of Michelin's. Why don't you call me when it's done?
Happy shopping!
Honey, you have no idea!
Michelin tire sale ends July 2nd. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears, good life, great price.
A recall effort is moving full speed ahead. Ed McCarthy reports a Georgia sheriff is under fire for the Atlanta courthouse shootings.
Atlanta lawyers backing the recall of the Fulton County sheriff say Myron Freeman has ignored safety recommendations from a task force, while according to Barbara Moon, allowing concrete measures already in place to go by the wayside.
If you have a policy and procedure that's not being followed, what effect does it have? And so you need to focus on these deputies that are not following the policy and procedures and get rid of them.
Moon says that comes from the top, and had proper procedures been followed, four people wouldn't have been murdered in Atlanta on March 11th. Ed McCarthy, CNN Radio, Atlanta.
Four hospitals in Massachusetts are checking to see whether hundreds may have been exposed to tuberculosis. Both patients and staff are being tested for TB after a worker tested positive for the disease. This is news from CNN Radio. BJ's Wholesale Club settles charges with the federal government that it failed to safeguard credit and debit card information. Dick Giuliano has more.
The Federal Trade Commission has told Congress that BJ's Wholesale Club, which operates warehouse stores in 16 states, failed to secure customer credit and debit card numbers. Thieves used the numbers to buy $13 million worth of fraudulent purchases. And FTC Chairman Deborah Majora says the banks want BJ's to pay for it all.
In this case, after the fraud was discovered, banks canceled and reissued thousands of credit and debit cards and have turned to BJ's to cover the costs of the identity theft and corrective actions.
The companies agreed to government demands that it tighten customer data security. Dick Giuliano, CNN Radio, Washington.
A blimp crash in Florida. The Goodyear airship crash landed in an industrial park in Coral Springs. The two people aboard were briefly trapped but not injured. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Mornings Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
The whole Deep Throat story is very interesting to me. The Mark Felt story is that if that guy has been hiding for 30 years, I mean, how many other unsolved mysteries are there out there? I mean, there's like, well, of course, JFK. Of course, there's a mystery of what's this weird spot on my arm, which I'm going to have to solve later today at the doctor. There's, of course, there's the mystery of, you know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Mornings Edition from 5 to 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
And from Mike Malloy to step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic 92.1.
Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council. The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
You filthy murderer! You're not my president, Mr. Bush. Oh, my God. If you go online, NewYorkTimes.com, right now, there's a headline that says, Anti-War Group says leaked British memo shows Bush misled public on his war plans. Anti-War Group! You see how they trivialize it? You see how the New York Times, you see how they do it? Why not say testimony regarding leaked British memo shows Bush misled public on his war plans. But they trivialize it. Now, there should be 1,000 letters to the new Time, New York Times ombudsman. I read his first column, the public editor, they call him. I read his first column a couple of Sundays ago. I guess a couple of Sundays ago. So why is there not 1,000 emails waiting for him tomorrow when he gets to work about this filthy headline, Anti-War Group? The article is written by Scott Shane. Now, Mr. Shane would probably say, well, it is a group opposed to the war. No, Scott, that's not the right answer. Anti-war has a certain connotation in this country, and you pigs in the media have made it have that connotation. It should be an honorable connotation. But media pigs have turned it into something that means shoeless hippie. Speaking of media, decent media, legitimate media, honest media, your symbol man from Take Back the Media, who promised to call in tonight to give us a first-hand report. I read something, as somebody, I guess it was on Democratic Underground, there's a report about how you got there late, you were denied entry, and Conyers took you in?
Yeah, you know, and this is a lesson for all of you out there. You have access to your government, you just have to ask for it. You know, this isn't getting behind backstage at a rock star concert. This is going to your congressman. I had shown up, and it was all set up that I was going to go over to the Capitol building with the DNC folks. They had already left. So this nice lady named Stephanie in the office took me over there. I took the little underground train to the Capitol. She checked me through, got me a pass. I walked in. I go over there. The lady tells me, well, you should have signed up for the press pool.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going in there. And I refuse to budge, and you should do that too. If you ever have a camera and you show up, knowing the media is going to spin it, and I want the truth. So I'm standing there, and I see Conyers walk out of the room, and he goes down the hallway, and I think, well, man, I'm going for it. So I grabbed my camera, I ran out of the hallway, I ran down another hallway, I looked both ways, it was like, you know, a horror movie. I had my little beetle boots on, so I'm going, clunk, 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 down these, in a little aisle, it's making a lot of noise, and I'm chasing Congressman Conyers, I'm chasing him. I catch him at the elevators, and I said, Mr. Conyers, I flew from Hawaii 12 hours to come here, not knowing if any media was going to cover this, knowing if they did come here, they're going to spin it and use your words against you. I'm here to represent the blogosphere. I need to get inside that there. They won't let me in with my camera. He told his aide to take me down there and get me in there.
Wow.
He took me down, walked me in, took the lady to the side that wouldn't let me in, said, Mr. Conyers, Congressman Conyers says, this man is supposed to go in there and film, and he is the law.
Wow.
So you can do that, too. I mean, show up. Go in there with cameras and get the truth. And that's what I did today. I got the truth there. I got the truth at the rally.
Well, you know, who was it? Who was it, Symbol Man? Was it Mark Twain or Frank Zappa who said 90% of life is just showing up? You know, I don't know. All right, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, it was really a privilege to be in that room with those people. And one of the reasons, like you just were talking about the media pigs, you know, I watched CNN this morning. What are they talking about? Well, 61% of the people back during that period wanted to go kill Iraq.
Yeah.
Right? Well, no one was mentioning on CNN that, of course, you know, there were lies occurring at that time.
Well, right. What the hell were 61? Yeah, what were 61% of the American sheeple supposed to believe? Even though those of us with half a brain knew it was lies, but okay, yeah, we can go with that.
We can give them a break for that because they were being lied to, just like the Congress was. But that is the media's job. They're Karl Rove's fax machine repeater stations.
Right.
And so, of course, what these guys were doing this morning on CNN is making it appear that this was just, you know, everybody's into it anyway, so what's the big deal? The big deal is this information was being fixed, that Bush was lying to Congress and to the people. That's the big deal. And this is where CNN needs to be taken to task. Now, it made me mad that I'm trying to get in there and get shots of this, and CNN is in there, and all of a sudden, when I flew from Hawaii, nobody was going to show up to do this. C-SPAN, nobody. They had nobody showing up to film this. And this room was the size of a trailer.
God.
It was the size of a trailer. I couldn't believe it. I was watching congressmen coming in there and picking up chairs over each other's heads so they could get in the room behind Mr. Conyers. And curiously enough, they had 11 votes today.
Mm.
11 votes on the floor.
Yeah, isn't that a strange coincidence? Today of all days, they have to run out and vote.
And they talked about it. They brought that up during the hearing. You'll hear about that. That they had to like file in and out. They had to go out and do this. And they said that was very odd. This was not a normal thing. And they suspect, you know, of course, foul play.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Sensenbrenner wasn't there. And one of the funniest things that happened was at the very end when Mr. Conyers said, well, you know, I could just, you know, let us all, I'm paraphrasing here, I could just basically, you know, not go by the rules and let us all leave without hitting with a gavel, but I think I'll stick to the rules of order.
Yeah, yeah.
He started banging away on it. And all of a sudden, everybody laughed because they realized that was Sensenbrenner running out with a gavel.
You know,
the thing
that was most shocking to me was the fact that these members of Congress, you know, elected representatives who are literally doing the people's business. This wasn't about any legislation today. This wasn't about paying off some campaign contributor. This wasn't about passing a law. This was about trying to ferret out the truth in a massive, massive cover-up of lies and deceptions that began with the attack on this country on September 11, 2001, up to and including the invasion of Iraq, the invasion of Afghanistan, all the activity of this filthy, criminal Bush administration. And here were members of Congress trying to do the people's business, forced into this little room by these Nazi Klansmen who now run this country. And Bill Frist and Tom DeLay are Klansmen. They may have never worn the robe, but these are KKKers as surely as the Burman that burn crosses on the front lawns of black families down here in suburban Atlanta. These are Klansmen.
Don't forget Trent Lott.
Yeah, well, Trent Lott, too. Every single one of these pigs.
Well,
oh, man.
You know, here's the problem with the whole thing. I mean, we are being nice. I mean, this Congressman Conyers, he's following the rule of law. All you hear from the Republicans are the rule of law, the rule of law. Then
yeah.
you have Stuntbrenner running out. Everybody in that room was extremely respectful, extremely intelligent. They stated only facts. One beautiful thing that came out of this, one senator or congressman, I can't remember which one it was. It'll be on the DVD that I'm making. He said...
Hey, hold it. Symbolman, hold it there. Kathy's about to fire up the music, and I don't want what you got to say to get lost
okay.
here. All right. One of the people doing the questioning, that would be a member of Congress, right? One of the representatives.
Yes.
All right. We'll come right back to that spot. Bookmark it. We'll come right back. We're talking with Symbolman from TakeBackTheMedia.com. Stay with us. More of his eyewitness report when we come back. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America.
Expert mocking pundits, don't you think that karma waits for you? See how the smile like beats in a star, see how this night I'm crying. Frost is on a thunder, toying with the public power, McClellan like a penguin singing, nothing answers, man, you should have seen.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Did you hear something that struck a nerve?
Tell us about it.
On Madison's Progressive Voicemail, call 663-7291. This is The Mike 92.1.
Hi, this is Larry King. If you're drinking orange juice to be healthy, why not consider drinking Welch's 100% grape juice, too? According to research, Welch's 100% grape juice has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. So it's actually good for your heart. So while OJ may be a good way to start your day, delicious Welch's grape juice is a great way to enjoy your life. Welch's 100% grape juice. Be heart smart. Pour yourself a glass today.
From TNT, executive producer Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks Television, a six-week television event. From the first Wagon West to a clash of two nations.
White men are like locusts.
From the California Gold Rush to a railroad that united a country.
I came out west to make my fortune.
This summer's most anticipated television event, Into the West. Three chances to watch every weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting this Friday at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
Randy Rhodes, loud and left, here on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
James Sensenbrenner shut down that hearing because he did not want to hear those witnesses. He didn't want it in the record. Librarians came to talk about receiving subpoenas. And Sensenbrenner shut it down, and he's not allowed to do that. He turned off the C-SPAN lights. He turned off microphones.
Thank goodness she's on our side.
He broke the law today.
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike.
We actually have Future Mark on line one.
Oh, Future Mark, that guy's great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's
up? Hey, buddy, what's up?
Just checking in, man. I told you Cincinnati would be good. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the flu you were going to get.
Yeah, thanks, man. When does this go away?
Friday, I promise.
Hey, what's that noise, man?
Oh, I'm sorry, the news is on.
Well, can't you just turn it off? We're kind of having a conversation here.
Actually, no, I can't. The news is always on now, or should I say infoblasts are always on. All the media outlets now have these info cannons, and they fire nanorobot swarms of data in the air, and you just kind of breathe them.
Wait, whoa. Let me see if I get this right. So robots fly into your mouth with the news?
Yeah, mouth, nose, ear canal, sometimes the other orifice, which is strangely pleasant sometimes.
Well, isn't that annoying?
Isn't what annoying?
Getting the news that way.
Is that what we've been talking about? I'm sorry, man. My attention span's taken a real beating since this technology came out. It's 2030, and that's what caused the... sorry, man. I forgot what we were talking about. Ow! Hey, what? Hey! I just got stung by a story on a runaway bride.
So they sting you too, the nanobots?
No, they're different types. The earlier news carriers were actual insects.
Oh.
I just got stung by an info bee. Fox created those. There were ticks, mosquitoes. What were we talking about?
News, man, news. So what kind of news do you get in 2050?
Well, there are about 250,000 news outlets, most of them in hailables. Mm. You know, crime blotters, sports, weather, porn. But now they're all mixed together. Actually, as we speak, I'm inhaling the New York Times Financial Lesbian Action Report.
Oh.
It really holds your attention for the 3 seconds it's on. I got to invest in that Dolphin Sports League.
All right, so I guess there's a Dolphin Sports League now.
Oh, yeah, Dolphin Sports Porn, Monkey Sports Porn, Giraffe Ball Porn. Oh. Hold on, man. There's a Michael Jackson bulletin that comes in every 3 minutes. Busted again?
He's still around?
Yeah, but he's fondling clones now. So now we're in this like gray zone as far as the ethical thing goes. I mean, we all use the pleasure clone. It's no secret. Really, how old is any clone? A couple weeks old, maybe.
Well, that's kind of creeping me out, buddy.
Mark, hey, how's it going, man?
What?
There's something I was going to tell you. I sent myself a brain mail. Hold on. Tell Mark to start carrying hand sanitizer. Lots of it.
Why?
You know, it wouldn't be fair to tell you why, because I know how you are, but I guess it wouldn't be fair of me not to tell you.
Yeah, that does worry me. How much hand sanitizer?
Well, if they've got it in a drum, buy that. I gotta go. Judy Woodruff Gone Wild is on.
Really?
Shake it, Judy! Yeah!
We'll be celebrating a new administration. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Bang, bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you
walk. It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
Did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely.
Boom, 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 boom.
You filthy, filthy liar. And you knew it was a lie.
Boom, boom. Bang, bang, bang.
All right, back to Symbol Man from Take Back the Media, who got on a plane in Hawaii and went to this little basement hovel this morning to videotape or film this. Let me just mention something, Symbol Man. First of all, I'm getting emails telling me that Lou Dobbs had a report on this, and of course earlier I mentioned that the McNeil report, or is it the Lehrer report? I guess it's the Lehrer report. They had it. A little mention on Fox, a little mention on CNN, a little mention on MSNBC. The point I was trying to make is that ABC, CBS, and NBC. That's where people go for their news in the early evening, and none of them, as far as I know, mentioned this Conyers hearing today, and certainly did not show Conyers showing up at the gate of the White House with over half a million signatures on a petition.
ABC, NBC, and the rest of them reach more people than cable.
There are
people sitting at home clipping their fingernails in America at any given moment than people that are actually watching cable television.
That's right. Now let me.
Not as big as you think.
Let me ask you something. Most of us have read at least a synopsis of these Downing Street minutes. So, having been there, what was the most profound revelation or damning information from today's hearing, in your opinion?
Well, I thought one of the most interesting things was there was a British gentleman that had flown from the other side of the world. He showed up. His son had died over there. And he was saying, and I interviewed him outside of the White House during the rally. I interviewed a whole bunch of people there, including, you know, McGovern and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman from England was standing there saying that they are actually doing the same thing in Parliament that we're doing right here in the basement of the Capitol. It is happening on both sides of the Atlantic right now. And that's really interesting information right there. You know, that's
well,
great.
All right, let me ask you this. You know, there's as you know, everybody listening to this program knows, there's a profound difference, though, between the British parliamentary system and our system. We cannot remove a government except by indicting it, trying it, and convicting it. Whereas in the parliamentary system, all they need is a vote of no confidence, boom, it's over. So given the fact that our system is arguably extremely cumbersome, extremely in favor of the criminals who occasionally infest our system of government, what do you see? I'm just looking for your own personal interpretation here, Symbol Man. What do you see as the ultimate outcome of what was started today in the basement of the Capitol by John Conyers.
Here's what I see. We've been given a hammer, and a person with a hammer sees nails everywhere.
Right.
And the nails that we're going to be hammering are going to be the nails in George Bush's political coffin.
All right.
One of the most beautiful things I shot today at the rally was the very end. I shouted out to everybody, look, the sun is going down in the White House. The sun is going down in the Bush administration. They cheered. I shot it. I went out and took a shot of that sun going down on that. That is the end of the George Bush administration.
Oh, Jesus. Did you go to the Lafayette Park thing after the hearing?
Yes, I went there. As a matter of fact, I've got all the footage from that. I met a friend of mine. I got there late. I got Conyers coming back from the White House because I was caught in traffic. But I ran into a friend called Flux, and this guy shows up everywhere, and he films everything. He'd been there the whole time, and he gave me 2 complete hours of what happened. And here's the interesting thing. Remember I told you yesterday that the press corps, they camp on the White House lawn. They have these little umbrellas, and everything's wrapped up.
Right.
When Karl Rove comes out and says, okay, here's what I want you guys to say, they unwrap everything, and they get ready for it.
Right, right. Well,
Conyers apparently walked up there to hand these 560,000 signatures over. No one wanted to talk to him. So all of a sudden, the cameras started showing up. Me and Flux, all these other guys show up. So then they open up their cameras on the other side of this iron gate on the White House grounds, and so you've got a Mexican standoff here between the media and the people that are really interested in the truth and their cameras. A Rodney King moment. And then the senator or the congressman starts speaking, and they're not going to stop. So they finally accept the signatures and take it. And that's how we do it. We surround them with cameras. We get right in there and say, no, you are going to take this.
Wow.
This belongs to you. And now you're going to pay for it. You know, it's interesting you talk about Powell, you know, and his lies. That guy held up a little tiny cylinder, and I saw those in college because I knew people that used drugs with those. And he said, if this was full of anthrax, everybody in this room would be dead. Mm. And I was sitting there thinking, if that was full of cocaine, George Bush would be having a pretty good party right about now. How about this pistol? You could look in everybody's eye, that's a weapon of mass destruction, everybody in the room would be dead.
Hey, hold on. Through one more break. just hold on. I just want to ask you a couple more things, then I got to let you go, okay? Can you hold on?
Yeah, you got more important people.
Stop it. We'll come right back to Symbol Man. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Tell me. Who hid the WMD in Saddam Hussein's palace? Nobody found it. That's because it came from Dallas. He went in without a clue. Now he's left Iraq a zoo.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1. Telling the truth since 2004.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. It's not enough that a certain giant oil company pretends that global warming doesn't exist. Now it's behind an active campaign to confuse the subject. In May, Mother Jones magazine reported that ExxonMobil has given millions to fake scientists and junk journalists. Then last week, the New York Times reported that a senior White House official has repeatedly watered down government reports on global warming. Philip A. Cooney, the former oil lobbyist with no scientific training, has been altering reports to soften the conclusions. Also last week, the UK Guardian reported that the Bush administration consulted with ExxonMobil before deciding not to sign the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty. Let me repeat. The President of the United States was taking marching orders from the world's most powerful oil company. Get the real story on MotherJones.com and now on Mother Jones Radio. Hear Mother Jones Radio Sundays on Air America Radio. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
What is
worth it, Bob.
You can take this job.
Yeah, take this job and shove it. So you're quitting, huh?
Yep.
I bet you're going to start your own business.
Right.
What do you know about starting a business? You're going to buy a business, start from scratch. How about startup money?
Well.
You even know where to get startup money?
Yeah, my brother.
Got a business plan? Can't raise money to start a business without a business plan.
I can't.
You're pathetic. You need Bruce Berman's book. It's called I Got Here, You Can Too. A master's course in becoming a millionaire. Want to be a millionaire, Bob?
That's the idea.
Then you got to buy his book. It shows exactly how Berman made a fortune in business and how you can too. Want a profitable business, Bob?
Sure.
Thanks, Bob. This is Bruce Berman. If you want to make $5, $10, even $15,000 a month right now from the comfort of your own home, then you don't have to buy my book. I will give you a free copy of my book and my Making Money CD. That's over $100 value. This limited time free offer is available only on my website, 9freebook.com. That's the number 9freebook.com. That's the number 9freebook.com. You could be making money within 30 days, guaranteed. So log on to 9freebook.com now.
Madison's Progressives are on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Back in May of 1995, the Wisconsin legislature enacted a cap on non-economic damages, the damages for pain and suffering in medical malpractice cases. That cap is currently at approximately $430,000. 10 years later, today, we can judge those results. Because of the cap, the scales of justice are tilted against patients injured as a result of medical malpractice who have been rendered disabled, disfigured, or otherwise severely and permanently impaired. The cap substitutes a legislatively imposed mandate from Madison for the wisdom of the local jury. This prevents fair compensation from going to the injured patients and their families for a lifetime of suffering. The cap was supposed to cut health care costs. It has not. Wisconsin now ranks second highest in the nation in health care costs. So while insurance companies prosper, patients suffer. Even though Wisconsin created a state fund for victims of malpractice called the Injured Patients and Compensation Fund, that fund has a huge financial reserve of $741 million, and only a trickle of that money is allowed to actually reach the people for whom the fund was named. The fund cannot be tapped because justice is capped. The cap on pain and suffering must be lifted. Wisconsin's injured patients deserve the standard of justice set out in our Constitution, and that is the right for juries to determine the damages. And I'm Dave Skoglund for a listener commentary on The Mike 92.1.
Hi, this is Steve Earle, and I make up songs and stories and plays, and on Sunday nights I have my friends over to play music on Air America Radio. This week my guest is Indigo Girl, Amy Ray.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The revolution starts now, Sunday night at 9 on the Mike 92.1.
Now.
The American Association of Retired Persons is opposing President Bush's plans for Social Security. Why would they do that? If you want to know the truth about old people, talk to the people who know them.
Old people are needy. I need a ride. I need a walker. I need something to eat. Could somebody please help me? I'm in the toilet. I can't get out. It's horrendous.
I had to spend 15 minutes helping my mother find her glasses because she forgot where she put them. Just forgot.
Dude, they crap in their pants.
Enough about World War II. I get it. You were there.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to dinner at 4 o'clock, you really don't need more money.
You liberated Auschwitz. You were there. I understand. Can we watch The Apprentice now?
And when they wear those diapers, they can pee right on themselves, too. Just pee.
Brian! My name is Brian! God!
I remember this one time, my uncle, he was on the floor. I thought he was having a heart attack or he was dead or something. Turns out he wasn't. Just on the floor.
Who the hell is Bobby? Nobody knows Bobby!
Dude, they crapped their pants.
Old people. They oppose President Bush's plans for Social Security. Isn't it time they died already?
Paid for by Switchboat veterans for whatever cause is being funded by the right-wing millionaires at the moment.
Wow.
You've done it now.
That's powerful stuff. I mean, it's awful what those people do.
Before there was Progressive Talk Radio. Well, there was. It was just me. So join me weekdays by Madison's Progressive Talk, the mic.
The Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
Stupid, stupid man. 26 before the hour. All right, Simple Man, I want to wrap this up, but I've had a couple of people email while you've been on the line here. How do any of us get a copy of this DVD that you're putting together, and when will it be ready? How do we do it?
Well, I'm going home tomorrow. I'm going to fly back 12 hours. I'm going to spend the next 3 or 4 days. Hopefully by Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to be shipping these things out. They can go to any number of sites. One site you can go to if you want to help support them is go to afterdowningstreet.org. Or you can go to takebackthemedia.com. And what I've done is set up BART Cop and Democratic Underground and all these different sites with their own PayPal buttons that go through Take Back the Media.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go from them to Take Back the Media and click on that button, a portion of the proceeds of the sale of the DVD, which will include the rally and interviews and everything besides, you know, the entire hearing, a portion will be given back to that site. So we're supporting all of these sites at the same time with a donation. I'm just trying to make my nut back, my rent money back for doing this.
I hear you. Have you decided what the cost is going to be or what?
This is going to run me about $1,500. This is my rent money.
No. What people will pay for the DVD? What are you going to sell it
basically
for?
Basically, I'm just asking for a donation of $20.
$20.
You know? And you know, I mean, you spend that much on a sushi dinner, real easy. And you know, I mean, this is
you know what a what dinner? What a sushi dinner?
Well, I live in California.
I don't eat bait. You know, I use that stuff to fish with. All right, so $20, and they can get it through DU, through BART Cop, through afterdowningstreet.org, Take Back the Meat.
Huh? Democratic Underground.
Right.
.com. WhatReallyHappened.com, they're signing on to it.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help all these other sites and make back the money that I spent coming
well, no,
out.
It's,
there.
It,
I'm
it,
not going to make a profit or anything.
It's a good idea. If you make a profit, so what? You know, make a profit. What the hell?
If somebody wants to lay some money on me, I'll go do this some more. You know, I just really personally feel the integrity of our integrity is important. And that's one thing Take Back the Media has always done. I mean, we forced them to put 750 back words back into the Hans Blix report in one afternoon on CNN by exposing them.
Right.
And that's what I did today is I went there to expose them. That was a room full of people that were going to use nothing more than sound bites to cut a saint of a man, Conyers, to pieces. That's what they will do. They will suck him in, they'll sit him down there, they'll let him talk nice, and they'll tear him apart with false analogies.
That's right. That's very
true. I'm
going
to go there, and I've got the truth, I've got the rally, and I've never seen a more passionate rally. To have Maxine Waters
mm-hmm.
standing there screaming into a microphone that everybody in that building is liars. You know, I mean, you just don't see that every day.
Bless.
And it was blowing my mind because I was taking the camera. I couldn't believe it myself. Here's this woman 5 feet away from me, and I'm taking the camera and panning over to the White House right there while she yells, they're liars, and they can't possibly not hear it.
Oh, my God.
It was beautiful. And people, this is our hammer. This is our hammer. The rats are going to they're going to desert the sinking ship of George Bush. Those coattails are getting ragged, and they're going to desert him. And it took the Republicans and the Democrats to kick Nixon out. We can do it. But you got to keep hammering. This is your hammer right here. Don't let go of this one. Tell everybody. Push it. This is the button. This is what will get George Bush out of office.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
I hear you. I hear you, Simple Man. Listen, thanks. Thanks for taking time to call in. Thanks for making the trip.
Thanks for what you do, man. You're the man.
No, you are. And as soon as this thing comes available, you know, I'd rather contribute $20 and know that a portion is going to support one of these websites than watch free television and have to see one more, a Viagra commercial or one of these commercials for some toxic substance that's supposed to get your blood cholesterol down. So you got my $20, man. Just get it together. I want to see this. I want to see what you did.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, great interviews at the end, too. I mean, this stuff is just priceless.
All right.
You know,
right.
It really is.
All right, Simple Man, listen, they got phone service in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, well, we have diesel-powered modems, but other than that...
Well, you know, call us once in a while, please. You know, you and I go back a long time, and
yep.
it just feels weird not hearing from you. And tell your friend American Stranger I said the same thing. You know, what the hell? You guys just disappeared. Come on, okay?
We'll give you a chance to listen to our radio show. We've revamped our show, and every weekend we do a radio show ourselves. So come on over and listen to our show on the weekend.
Send me a link. I'll do it.
We'll be talking more about this episode on the show in detail as well.
All right. And tell American Stranger I said hey, all right?
Oh, definitely, definitely, man. He loves you to death.
All right. Good trip home. Thanks, Simple Man. We'll talk again.
Keep hammering them, man, and keep getting those quotes out there. Those people are much more important than I am. They had real things to say.
All right. Thanks, Simple Man. Take care. Man. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't wait for this DVD. Have we got $20, Kenny? We do? Okay. All right. I've got more stuff here, but I want to get a couple of calls in here. I want to get a couple of calls. Okay. Let's start up at the top here with Ira, who's calling in from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking a call, Mike.
Sure.
Great program, as usual. I was going to talk about things you hit since I put the call in about the way the media spun what happened today.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I got a glimpse of MSNBC earlier just to see how they treated this. And it's like you say, they trivialize it and they downplay it. And they one of their people, forget the name, said the issue will go away. I don't think it's going away, though. I don't think it's going away. I think one thing that's important is to get more congressmen signed up, you know, Republicans as well as Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I say, that was kind of what I intended to talk about, but you did address it very well. And
All right. Well, listen, Ira, thanks. Let me move on because I got a lot of people stacked up
okay.
here. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Bruce is calling from California. Bruce, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Buenas noches, Miguel.
Hey, buenas noches a tu.
Hey, listen, I wanted to bring your attention to something that just floored me. There is a joint resolution that was introduced in the House of Representatives on February 17, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It is H.J. Resolution 24, and it says simply the 22nd article of the amendment to the Constitution of the United States is repealed. They've introduced.
Yeah, that's so Bush can. You know who introduced that? It was Sensenbrenner.
Sensenbrenner, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Hoyer, Berman, Szabo, S-A-B-O, and Polony, P-A-L-L-O-N-E.
Yeah.
And I was just floored. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty informed guy. I mean, after all, I listen to you and everything, you know. And
right.
Geez, we're you know, why don't we even know about this? You know, it blows me away completely.
We're not supposed to know about it. Okay, we're not supposed to know about it, but now we do. You know, people have been sending me links to that. Over the past 3 or 4 days, somebody in the blogosphere must have really publicized it, because you're right, it goes all the way back to February. Are you sure it's 2005? I think it's February 2003, wasn't it?
February 17th, 05.
05? Okay. Somebody must have started talking about it again, because all of a sudden, bing, 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 I get all these emails with people saying, did you know about this? Did you hear about this? And the quick answer is, yeah. You know, to repeal a part of the Constitution, in other words, to put an amendment in there to supersede the amendment, that's a long process. It requires enormous super majorities all over the country. It's not going to happen.
I recognize that, but
yeah, the Bush. I'll tell you what could happen. No, I'll tell you what could happen is the Bush crime family could just declare that the electoral process is history. We're moving into the future and declare martial law. That's how the Bush crime family would stay in power. They're not going to stay in power because they try to get an amendment passed. You know, it's just not going to happen. They don't have enough time to do it anyway. All right.
Okay, well, thanks. I just wanted to kind of bring it to your attention. And
I hear you.
The readers, I mean, the listeners' attention.
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
one other thing. You know what?
Sure.
You said something on one of your programs about, you know, Al Franken having like 30 people on his staff and whatnot.
Well,
right. No, hey, this is a really important point, is that I write an Internet newsletter that keeps me busy as hell, and I have a whole bunch of readers that are just people out there that all pitch in and help, and they make my job a hell of a lot easier, and they're really, really good. You ought to get a group of truth seekers out there that you know, I'll volunteer to do whatever you need, you know, and get some people.
Well, I've got a whole group of folks. I got a senior correspondent. I have bureau chiefs, and the only thing that we need here, and we get it, and it's very sufficiently covered. But I thank you for the offer, and that is, you know, links to stories. It's a huge funnel, this program. We must have 100 people who funnel stories and links to stories to us every single day. Sometimes, you know, I just pull what few hairs I have left out of my head, trying to cover everything. Because the group that takes care of this program, all volunteers, all listeners, is so efficient. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Bruce, I got a boogie. Thank you, sir. All right, take care. Take care. When you come back, when we come back, well, just hang around for it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
More died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of Death Row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Sunday at noon, join Catherine Landfer for Liberal Arts here on the Mike 92.1. From TNT, executive producer Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks Television, a six-week television event. From the first Wagon West to a clash of two nations.
White men are like locusts.
From the California Gold Rush to a railroad that united a country.
I came out west to make my fortune.
This summer's most anticipated television event, Into the West. Three chances to watch every weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting this Friday at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
What's more delectable than caviar, more indulgent than curling up on cashmere, and more satisfying than purring the day away? New Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold Dry Cat Food.
At last.
At last, a dry cat food good enough to be called Fancy Feast. Your cat will be in absolute bliss. Visit FancyFeast.com to find out how you can receive a free sample of new Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold.
Just when did W declare war on Iraq? The Washington Post says there's no new news in the Downing Street memos. We'll ask Ambassador Joe Wilson about that. Plus an election reform update from Bob Fitrakis. And Eve Ensler's got a plan to shut down Guantanamo Bay Detention Center. Can you help? You bet. Plus an activism update from the editor of Alternate's new book, Start Making Sense. It's all on the Laura Flanders Show this weekend.
Laura Flanders, Saturday and Sunday nights at 6 on the Mike 92.1.
You know, my therapist tells me I got to write down my dreams every night. So this is my one from last night, my dream from last night. So I'm at this mega church in Kentucky, Riley, for the Justice Sunday show. Problem is, I'm locked in an 8-foot steel cage with a cloth draped over it. Outside my cage, I can hear James Dobson screaming about people of faith being attacked and roasted and eaten. I hear the word Shivo, judicial homicide, and Ron Jeremy. I'm not sure what he had to do with it, but suddenly I feel myself being carried on stage and the cloth is removed. I'm hit in the eyes with this intense bright light and immediately hundreds of neocons start booing and throwing dirt clods and ball peen hammers and mashed potatoes and gravy and doll parts at me. James Dobson sneers and points at me and says, "Brothers and sisters, gaze upon the liberal Jew. Listen to his obstructionist filibuster. Listen to his satanic hate speech. Given half a chance, he'd kill Jesus all over again." Dobson gets a long, sharp stick, reaches through the bars, and pokes me hard in the ribs. He says, "Wouldn't you, huh?" I say, "Ow! Hi, I'm Mark Maron, and this is Morning Sedition." Everybody starts booing and throwing dirt clods at me. "Today, the neocon, death cult, Christo fascist, zombie brigade, boo! Boo!" Dobson pokes me again and barks, "Silence, heathen! What say you, good people? Shall we kill this sinner?" A huge roar went up. "Yeah! Stone him! Stone him!"
him!
Dobson raises his hand for quiet and says, I have a better idea. Then these big guys pick up my cage and lower me into a baptism tank. Dobson screams, convert the devil! I'm underwater for a long time. I start to black out. I see a tunnel and a white light. My dead cat Butch smoking a cigarette. Then they pull me back up, dripping and gasping. And Dobson says, what say you now? I say, Christo fascist zombie. Dobson says, then you have chosen your own fate. They open the cage, and I look up and see four hungry lions circling me, and above them, three giant video screens of four hungry lions circling me. I hear an announcer, when we return on Justice Sunday, the obstructionist liberal gets his just desserts, right after these messages. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Polident.
Help the Arbor Day Foundation, plant more trees across the nation, and a beautiful day for all the world to share.
This is Crystal Gale. For more information, go to arborday.org.
At themike921.com. Now, more progressive talk on the mic.
No doubt his hatred is mainly directed at us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad.
10 before the hour, before we lose our listeners on WLIB radio, you folks have to switch over to the internet, we want to play three sound bites from Scott McClellan today, his desperate briefing. Here's the first one. As you know, Conyers showed up the gates of the White House with several other members of Congress to deliver those signatures of 560,000 citizens and 122 congressional Democrats, all of which are seeking a response to the so-called Downing Street minutes. Now, in this soundbite, Scott McClellan gets snotty with a reporter named Elaine about the Conyers letter to Bush and the forum today on the memo. The reporter, Elaine, asks the following. Scott, on another topic, has the president or anyone else from the administration responded to the letter sent last month by Congressman Conyers and signed by dozens of members of the House of Representatives regarding the Downing Street memo? Has the president or anyone else responded?
Not that I'm aware of.
Why not?
Why not? Because I think that this is an individual who voted against the war in the first place and is simply trying to rehash old debates that have already been addressed.
Jesus.
And our focus is not on the past. It's on the future and working to make sure we succeed in Iraq. These matters have been addressed, Elaine. I think you know that very well. The press has covered it as well.
Scott, don't they deserve the courtesy of a response back?
Again, this has been addressed. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Just let me have him, okay? In this one, Scotty gets real snotty with reporter April about, let's call it Memogate, obliquely trying to claim that the only people bringing up the memo are those opposed to the Iraq War, as if that somehow negates the fact that this filthy administration committed felony after felony and lied, not just to Congress and the American population, but the entire world. Oh, Jesus. All right, let me just get to it. This reporter, April, says, Scott, on John Conyers, Conyers is walking here with that letter, but 88 leaders on Capitol Hill signed that letter. Now I understand what you're saying about him, what you're saying about the other 88 who signed the letter, wanting information, wanting answers to five questions. Now this reporter is not referring to the 122 members of Congress who signed on. This is the letter that was sent, last month. All right, listen to McClellan's answer.
How did they vote on the war decision to go to war in Iraq?
Well, you have two. Well, if that's the case, you have two Republicans who are looking for a timetable. How do you justify that?
I already talked about that.
I understand, but let's talk about this.
And like I said,
but just because
how many,
I said just, but wait a minute, that's not.
This is simply.
If leaders from Congress, if you're talking about unifying and asking for everyone to come together, why not answer whether they wanted the war or not? Answer a letter where John Conyers wrote to the president. And then 88 congressional leaders signed. Why not answer that?
For the reasons I stated earlier, this is simply rehashing old debates that have already been discussed.
Filthy, filthy pig. Oh, Jesus, let me have him. Have we got time for this last one, Terry Moran? Huh? Yeah, I think we do. All right, now listen, ABC's Terry Moran just won't give up on this hammering home Cheney's ridiculous statement a few days ago about the Iraqi insurgents are in their last throes. Listen to this. Moran began. Scott, is the insurgency in Iraq in its last throes?
Terry, you have a desperate group of terrorists in Iraq that are doing everything they can to try to derail the transition to democracy. The Iraqi people have made it clear that they want a free and democratic and peaceful future. We are working side by side with Iraqi forces now to defeat those terrorist and regime elements who want to derail the transition to democracy. And every day we move forward on democracy and training Iraqi security forces is every day closer that we are to succeeding in Iraq.
The insurgency is in its last...
Yeah, the vice president talked about that the other day. You have a desperate group of terrorists who recognize how high the stakes are in Iraq. A free Iraq will be a significant blow to their ambitions.
But they're killing more Americans. They're killing more Iraqis. That's the last...
Innocent civilians. And it doesn't take a lot of people to cause mass damage when you're willing to strap a bomb onto yourself, get in a car, and go and attack innocent civilians. That's the kind of people that we're dealing with. That's what I say when we're talking about a determined enemy.
Right. What is the evidence that the insurgency is in its last...
Yeah, I think I just have explained to you the desperation of the terrorist and their tactics.
What's the evidence on the ground that it's being extinguished?
Terry, we're making great progress to defeat the terrorist and regime elements. There are a lot of special forces in Iraq that are taking the battle to the enemy in Iraq. And so this is a period when they're in a desperate mode.
I'm just wondering what the metric is for measuring the defeat.
Well, you can go back and look at the vice president's remarks. I think he talked about it.
So. Any idea how long a last throw lasts for?
Go ahead, Steve.
Isn't that nice? Is there any idea how long a last throw lasts for? Go ahead, Steve. You all can, pick who you want. I want McClellan and Limbaugh and Cheney. Okay, and DeLay and Hastert. Oh, Jesus. And Frist and Hannity. Who's that punk they just took off the radio here in Atlanta? Beck. Glenn Beck. How many am I up to now? Yeah, give me Dr. Laura, too. Is she still alive? Is she still around? I thought they found her dead. Oh, that was her mother. That's right. Never mind. All right, it's easy to get these people. But those are the ones I want. All right, when we come back... your calls, and I've still got a couple things here that you've got to hear you're gonna sit there and you're gonna go, I'm not believing I'm hearing this. Stick around. This is Air America.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. Imagine a natural diet ingredient that kills your appetite and helps attack obesity by simply telling your brain you are full. Imagine you could try it risk-free with a 100% money-back guarantee. No need to imagine. It's true. H57 Hoodia is now available in America in its purest form. H57 South African Hoodia will make you less hungry to help you lose more weight. Become an H57 success story. Just listen to this.
I gained 80 pounds during my pregnancy. Although I struggled and lost most of the weight I had gained, those last 30 pounds seemed impossible to get rid of. A little little over 2 months ago, I started using H57 Hoodia, and I've already lost about 25 pounds, and I still eat all the foods I enjoy. H57 is incredible. From the very first time I tried it, I just wasn't as hungry, so I ate less and finally lost the weight I wanted.
Become an H57 success story. Call for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia toll-free 1-800-227-0361. That's 1-800-227-0361. Unconditional money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-227-0361 or visit myh57.com.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
Every month should be Gay Pride Month. You know, it's like when you were a kid and you said, how come there's Mother's Day and there's Father's Day, but there's not Children's Day? And your
mother would say,
every day is Children's Day. Well, every day should be Gay Pride Day, is what I think.
I agree.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
My name is Juan Jose Lopez from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm on the mic.
The Mike 92.1, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
CNN Radio News. I'm Paul Chambers. House Democrats are looking into a document that states the Bush administration had poor intelligence on Iraq before the decision was made to go to war. Sean Hall has more from Washington.
Michigan Democrat John Conyers chairs the panel that's looking into the so-called Downing Street Minutes, a formerly secret memo reportedly outlining lack of intelligence on Iraq months before the war.
We're here today because many of us find it unacceptable for any administration, be it Democratic or Republican, to put our brave men and women in harm's way based on false information.
Conyers and others want the White House to disclose more information that either confirms the contents of the memo or confirms it as hogwash. Sean Hall, CNN Radio, Washington.
Republican Congressman Ron Paul says it's time for the U.S. to begin the process of pulling out of Iraq.
This is a shift in sentiment and a shift in debate, and we hope that we can contribute something very positive, which will be very beneficial to our troops. We happen to believe the best thing we could do for our troops is get them out of harm's way.
A bipartisan group of congressmen Thursday called for a troop withdrawal. The White House says such a call would only play into the hands of the insurgents. North Korean leader Kim Jong-il will meet with South Korea's unification minister Friday. Iran will elect a new president Friday. The race is very close. A moderate earthquake shakes Southern California. No damage or injuries reported. A Goodyear blimp crash lands in South Florida. The two people aboard were briefly trapped but not injured. The Michael Jackson jury says it was hung up over two misdemeanor counts of providing alcohol to a minor. They eventually found the singer not guilty. UN ambassador nominee John Bolton met with a key Democrat blocking his nomination Thursday, but no apparent progress. This is CNN Radio News.
Do you reach for a pill when you suffer pain? Next time, try the O24 Essential Oil Pain Neutralizer. O24 works in minutes and brings pain relief for hours. O24 gives you strong pain relief. Now available at your local Rite Aid pharmacy. A soothing blend of essential oils with no added chemicals, the U.S. patented O24 uses nature's finest and does not interfere with your prescription medicines. Hospital tested, medically endorsed, and used by professional athletes when they really hurt. If you suffer from chronic pains like arthritis, back aches, or for pains in your hands, fingers, legs, or feet, go to your local Rite Aid pharmacy today and get O24. Order direct, 877-794-7633. When you're sore, go to Rite Aid and get O24. Order direct, 877-794-7633. 877-794-7633. Or at www.o24zone.com.
A moderate earthquake shakes Southern California Thursday. Jim Roop has more.
The latest quake has felt from Los Angeles to San Diego and in counties to the east. It is quite a jolt. John Manja with L.A. County Fire says in the greater L.A. area, the jolt and subsequent rocking lasted 5 to 10 seconds and says this is quite a wake-up call that we are all in earthquake country.
It's for people to safely, hopefully they do have a plan in place to, in an orderly, safe fashion, get outside the area immediately, any structure or wherever it is, once they have done a duck and cover, to come out and do a head count of all people, make sure that they are okay.
Jim Roop, CNN Radio, Los Angeles.
The U.S. Army, for the first time since World War II, awarded a Silver Star Thursday to a female soldier. A Muslim father and son in Lodi, California, have been indicted by a federal grand jury for allegedly lying to FBI agents. This is news from CNN Radio. Stocks went higher Thursday, but not by much. Subin Lasovich has the latest.
A stealth rally is underway on Wall Street. For a sixth straight day, the Dow Industrials registered a modest win on lackluster volume. The broader S&P notched a fifth session of gains, while the Nasdaq packed a fourth consecutive win. This despite crude prices that ended a dollar higher and economic reports that came in slightly below estimates on the housing and manufacturing fronts. GM held back the Dow's gains on reports that the UAW is playing hardball on healthcare concessions. Susan Lasovich, CNN Radio, New York.
Former President Bill Clinton and talk show host David Letterman are trading stories about their heart bypass operations. Clinton appeared on The Late Show Thursday night. Letterman claimed his doctors were smoking during his surgery. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, welcomes the outspoken and hilarious Bill Maher to the Orpheum Theater.
Okay, great.
We'll reward open mic club members with tickets to see Bill Maher.
Thank you.
Not a member? Go to themike921.com and join today.
I am Steve from DeForest, and I'm on the mic. I'm going to see Bill Maher.
Get tickets at the Orpheum box office and Ticketmaster outlets. Bill Maher, brought to you by Jam, Last Coast True Endeavors, and the Mike 92.1.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. If you've got an old cell phone laying around the house, recycle it. It's easy, it's free, best of all, it's good for the environment. Learn more at calltorecycle.com. That's call, the number two, recycle.com. Or call toll-free at 877-2-RECYCLE. Please, answer the call to recycle.
To step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic 92.1. Online at themic921.com.
It's about 7 past the hour. This is just out there. It's from the Independent of the UK, the newspaper Independent News. It's dated the 17th. That's Friday, right? Friday the 17th? Okay. Which we just entered. American officials lied to British ministers over the use of internationally reviled napalm-type firebombs in Iraq. Can you believe this? Remember when that issue came up and the Bush crime family and this totally whored out Defense Department under the command of Donald Rumsfeld said, no, we didn't use napalm or the descendant of napalm. It's called MK-77. Well, guess what? It's been disclosed now in British Parliament. Here's what it says. Yesterday's disclosure led to calls by members of Parliament for a full statement to the Commons and opened ministers to allegations that they held back the facts until after the general election. Jesus, that's just getting as bad as us, right? Despite persistent rumors of injuries among Iraqis consistent with the use of incendiary weapons such as napalm, Adam Ingram, the defense minister, assured Labour members of Parliament in January that U.S. forces had not used a new generation of incendiary weapons, codenamed MK-77, in Iraq. But Mr. Ingram admitted to the Labour Member of Parliament Harry Cohn in a private letter obtained by the Independent that he had inadvertently misled Parliament because he had been misinformed by the United States. Mr. Ingram told Mr. Cohn, quote, the U.S. confirmed to my officials that they had not used MK-77s in Iraq at any time, and this was the basis of my response to you. I regret to say that I have since discovered this is not the case and must now correct the position. We even lie to the government of the poodle, Bush's lapdog, Tony Blair, don't we? The article goes on. Mr. Ingram said 30 MK-77 firebombs were used by the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force in the invasion of Iraq between 31 March and 2 April 2003. Now, this, in my opinion, violates the 1980 Convention of Certain Conventional Weapons, CCW is what it's called, which permits the use of these weapons only against military targets. There were no military targets when we invaded Iraq. What were the military targets? Britain, the article goes on, which has no stockpiles of these weapons, ratified the convention, but the United States did not. The confirmation the U.S. officials misled British ministers led to new questions last night about the value of the latest assurances by the United States. Mr. Cohen said there were rumors that the firebombs were used in the U.S. assault on the insurgent stronghold of Fallujah last year. Mr. Cohen is tabling more questions seeking assurances that the weapons were not used against civilians. Mr. Ingram did not explain why the U.S. officials had misled him, but the U.S. and British governments were accused of a cover-up. The Iraq Analysis Group, which campaigned against the war, said the U.S. authorities only admitted the use of the weapons after the evidence from reporters had become irrefutable. Mike Lewis, a spokesman for that group, said the U.S. has used internationally reviled weapons that the U.K. refuses to use, and then has apparently lied to U.K. officials, showing how little weight the United Kingdom carries in influencing American policy, end quote. The MK-77 bombs, an evolution of the napalm used in Vietnam and Korea, carry kerosene-based jet fuel and polystyrene, so that, like napalm, the flaming gel sticks to structures and to its victims. The bombs lack stabilizing fins, making them far from precise. Jesus Christ. This is who we've become now. Did you know about this, truth seeker? Huh? Did you? How about you right-wing lurkers? You filthy dog bastards who listen to this program and salivate over what you hear. You filthy, filthy cretins. Does this do anything to you right-wingers? Anything at all? You and your precious embryos. For Christ's sake, these are people! These are children! God! Listen to this. Several years ago, I was playing golf with some friends when, out of the blue, we heard a piercing, gut-wrenching scream. It was the most horrifying sound I'd ever heard. Instinctively, I knew, I think we all did, what that sound signified. It was the sound of a mother who had just found out her child was dead. It couldn't be anything else. To this day, years later, I can still hear that terrible sound. I can't recreate it for you. All I can do is tell you what she said. She said, oh no, oh no, oh my God, no, please, no, my baby, oh God, no. Every syllable is indelibly etched in my brain. We ran to see what had happened, but as I said, we already knew. It was a young boy who had tried to ride his bike across the street. He was so young, I'm sure he wasn't allowed to cross that particular street alone. A car struck him and killed him instantly. When we arrived, we saw the child's mangled body lying in the road and knew he was gone. The mother was being held by a friend, but she was quiet now. She was in shock. Her mind had mercifully shut down, leaving her in an anguished, catatonic state. The driver of the car that had struck the child was sitting on the curb crying. The other day I was watching television. I saw a mother in a faraway land screaming in anguish for the loss of her young child. He had been killed by an American bomb. His only crime being that he had been born in Iraq. I saw an American soldier, his helmet in his hand, obviously saddened by the loss of the child. Then it occurred to me I'd seen this before. The memory of that terrible day many years before came flooding back. I saw the poor Iraqi child as that young boy lying dead in the road. I imagined the soldier as the unwitting driver of the car. We try to hide from the truth. The truth is we are guilty of allowing this illegal war to happen. We see glimpses of it on the little box, but we can't comprehend the scale of the horror we are, through our inaction, perpetuating. The entire world came to the aid of the victims of the tsunami. Bush and his henchmen have caused a tragedy of the same proportions. Where is the universal outpouring of compassion for the more than 100,000 murdered in Iraq? The Bush crime family knows we love our country and uses it against us. Evidence of blatant misconduct is paraded in front of us, and we still don't believe, because to believe is to admit that the holder of the office that we so revere is an evil man. History is full of evil men who rose to power. Duvalier, Idi Amin, Hitler, Stalin, to name just a few. Now we have Bush. The things he is accused of are so horrendous that it's hard to believe. Believe it. It can happen here. It is happening here. I love my country. I would die for this country and what it's supposed to stand for. So now I'm saying this. I want my country back, Mr. Bush. We are not going to listen to your lies anymore, Mr. Bush. Get us out of this holy war you've immersed us in your insane, opportunistic profiteering. When will you feel you have enough money to stop murdering sons and daughters, you evil blank? History will judge you, but more importantly, the God you hide behind is going to have your ass when the day comes, hypocrite. I, for one, am going to open a bottle of champagne if I'm lucky enough to still be here when that great day comes. Somewhere out there, a mother's scream echoes through the cold death night. Someone named Lou wrote that and sent it to me, and I edited a bit of it out, but left enough in. We will take the and you can't ask me to post a URL for that, because I don't have one. It was an email. We've been talking about this for months, actually years, before I came to work for Air America. We're building up a karmic consequence for all of us here in this country by allowing this regime to continue. You don't believe in karma? Well, okay, that's fine. But all it means is balance. It's a law of nature. It's one of Newton's laws, action-reaction. That's all it is. Just because it has a Sanskrit name doesn't, don't run, if you're atheist like I am, don't be afraid. It has nothing to do with Hinduism. It has to do with reality. Stay with us.
The flutes and drums beat out in the time, as in his box of polished pine, like dead meat on a butcher's tray. My youngest son came home today, and this time he's home to stay.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More talk and more truth are coming up here on the Mike 92.1.
And we'll be back with more of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio right after this.
We're clear. Back in 3 minutes.
Okay. Billy, explain to me again what the cameras are doing here.
Okay. What we're doing is we're taping the entire three-hour radio show here on the new set and then editing it down to 1 hour.
1 hour.
Right. And then that hour is broadcast the same night on Sundance Channel.
Wow. The same night. That's great. So it stays topical.
Yeah, it's topical. It's completely fresh.
Huh. And when is it on?
It's on 11:30 p.m. on the West and East Coast, and in other places, people have to check their local listings.
Uh-huh. And what's it called?
It's the same as the radio show. It's called The Al Franken Show.
Okay, so let me make sure I've got this. It's called The Al Franken Show. It's on Sundance Channel every weeknight. And if someone wants to find out more, they should check their local listings?
Exactly.
2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Do I have time to pee?
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, welcomes the outspoken and hilarious Bill Maher to the Orpheum Theater. We'll reward open mic club members with tickets to see Bill Maher.
Thank you.
Not a member? Go to themike921.com and join today.
Hi, this is Elvin from Madison. I'm on the mic, 92.1, and I'm going to see Bill Maher.
Get tickets at the Orpheum box office and Ticketmaster outlets.
Really?
Bill Maher, brought to you by Jam, Last Coast True Endeavors, and the Mic, 92.1.
Hey, Maren. Sorry to interrupt you, buddy, but Future Mark is on line one. Future Mark, great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's up? So what's going on in 2050 today?
Well, I'm getting my kidney replaced. It's been about 3 months, and I was at the hospital anyway, so I thought, you know, what the hell? But that's not really why I'm at the hospital.
So why are you at the hospital?
You know, I had to bring my clone in because he hurt himself.
Oh, no. Is he, are they okay? I mean, are you guys okay? What happened?
Well, he's fine. They're always fine. I just, I kind of beat him up.
Whoa. You beat up your clone? Well, I'm sorry, buddy, but that's kind of creepy.
All right, well, look, you know how you spent all those years beating yourself up? Well, in 2050, that's all over, my friend. You just take it out on the clone. It's actually why most people have them anyway.
Wait, so in the future I have a clone, and I just use him as a punching bag?
Well, that's not what he's for. You know, he cooks, he cleans, he does the things you don't want to do, he attends events for me sometimes, he stands in line for stuff, I make him buy condoms, yeah, stuff like that.
But mostly you just hit him.
You don't understand, Mark. Crime has gone way down because of clones. They take the brunt of people's frustrations. There's hardly any more domestic abuse now that you can kick your clone's ass instead.
Look, I'm sorry, man, but it just sounds exactly like domestic abuse to me.
No, it's not. They don't bleed or anything. They don't even feel physical pain. I even shot him once, and then I sent him out for pizza. The problem is, actually, you can hurt their feelings. I mean, they are still you, you know.
Mr. Maron, your clone is ready to go home now.
Oh, hey, Mark, my clone's here. Hold on. You told me he fell down the stairs, right? Like we said, right?
Wow, this is really weird. I mean, I don't want to judge you, but man. So is everybody like this to their clones?
Hey, I'm one of the nice ones, okay? I mean, I'm not a clonist or anything. I've even been to Clone Town, like, a bunch of times. As long as they know their place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine if they could vote? Wow, that'd be awful.
Oh, man. Dude, I usually enjoy these conversations, but today you're really making me kind of sad. Kind of bummed, a little freaked out. But is there anything you want to tell me before I go?
Yeah, actually. Did you see the movie Signs?
You mean the one about the crop circles and the aliens?
Exactly. Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to rent it again and kind of get the message. And just for your own peace of mind, you might want to have a super soaker filled with water on you pretty much all the time.
Okay, man. But look, be nicer to your clone.
Yeah, whatever. Later, man.
Later.
You're on the mic.
I love them all. They're excellent, but I really like Randy Rhoads.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
In the letter that Conyers presented to the Bush crime family today, they lay out their concerns, and then they ask for a response to the following questions. This is all of this memo that I'm going to share with you. One, this is addressed to Mr. Bush. One, do you or anyone in your administration dispute the accuracy of the leaked documents? Two, were arrangements being made, including the recruitment of allies, before you sought congressional authorization to go to war? And did you or anyone in your administration obtain Britain's commitment to invade prior to this time? Three, was there an effort to create an ultimatum about weapons inspectors in order to help with the justification for the war, as the minutes indicate? Four, at what point in time did you and Prime Minister Blair first agree it was necessary to invade Iraq? Five, was there a coordinated effort with U.S. intelligence community and or British officials to fix the intelligence and facts around the policy as the leaked document states? And then it goes on to say, these are the same questions 89 members of Congress submitted to you on May 5th, 2005. As citizens and taxpayers, we believe it is imperative that our people be able to trust our government and our commander-in-chief when you make representations and statements regarding our nation engaging in war. As a result, we would ask that you publicly respond to these questions as promptly as possible. Sincerely. And then there was 122 members of Congress and 560,000 Americans. Do you think this Bush pig will answer? Do you think this Bush pig will go down the five questions presented to him by John Conyers and half a million citizens and 122 members of Congress? Do you think this Bush pig will respond? I can't remember when I felt so much contempt for someone who held the office of the presidency of the United States. I have great respect for the office. I have great respect for the various institutions that have been set up and that have evolved over the past 230 years, as flawed as they were to begin with. And they were flawed. The framers had the right idea on several fronts, but they just so egregiously missed on so many other fronts, didn't they? So over 230 years, how we governed ourselves evolved. Some of it was good, some of it was not so good, and some of it was absolutely atrocious. But in my lifetime, I have never, ever confronted the kind of evil that this regime represents. I have confronted the incompetency of regimes. I have confronted the opposition. I have confronted the idiocy. And I have confronted the mean-spiritedness of various administrations, but never in my lifetime the depth of evil that these people represent, this Bush crime family. I've never seen anything like this. And every single day, more is peeled back. The onion, one more layer is peeled. One more layer is peeled from the onion. Huh? We burn people to death in Iraq. We burn them. We burn civilians. We roast children. We murder prisoners. We torture. And we have a whore media that covers Michael Jackson. Or this crazy broad who ran away from her marriage here in Atlanta. It's just I don't know, like you. I get emails from you. I read your emails about how you don't know what the hell to do, about how you listen to this program just to have a safety valve. Yeah, I understand that. But my God, it's beyond belief. It's just astonishing. And the evil cohorts that this administration has in media. You know, I can't. It's like I'm fixated. It's like I want to have sex with them because all I do is talk about them. Pigs like Hannity and pigs like Limbaugh. It's not a sex thing. It's whatever the opposite of that is. Am I obsessed with these killers of our country? Yes! Yes! Why isn't everyone?
Alpha male. I come from Texas. I come from Texas. Texas. The new Prime Minister of India is, Mass destruction.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen on the internet.
Log on to themike921.com. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Listen to Mother Jones Radio every Sunday on Air America. Mother Jones Radio brings you investigative reporting and razor-sharp commentary on today's most important news. On the premiere show, Mother Jones Radio talks with FDA whistleblower Dr. David Graham. When he discovered a deadly secret about the painkiller Vioxx, FDA officials told him to keep quiet. Now he's exposing the full story on Mother Jones Radio. Mother Jones Radio, every Sunday on Air America Radio.
From TNT, executive producer Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks Television, a six-week television event. From the first Wagon West to a clash of two nations.
The white men are like locusts.
From the California Gold Rush to a railroad that united a country.
I came out west to make my fortune.
This summer's most anticipated television event, Into the West. Three chances to watch every weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday starting this Friday at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
Imagine a natural diet ingredient that kills your appetite and helps attack obesity by simply telling your brain you are full. Imagine you could try it risk-free with a 100% money-back guarantee. No need to imagine. It's true. H57 Hoodia is now available in America in its purest form. H57 South African Hoodia will make you less hungry to help you lose more weight. Become an H57 success story. Just listen to this.
I gained 80 pounds during my pregnancy. Although I struggled and lost most of the weight I had gained, those last 30 pounds seemed impossible to get rid of. A little over 2 months ago, I started using H57 Hoodia, and I've already lost about 25 pounds, and I still eat all the foods I enjoy. H57 is incredible. From the very first time I tried it, I just wasn't as hungry, so I ate less and finally lost the weight I wanted.
Become an H57 success story. Call for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia toll-free 1-800-227-0361. That's 1-800-227-0361. Unconditional money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-227-0361 or visit myh57.com.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
It becomes a story and not some whacked out idea when you have a group of people deciding to do this. Loyalists at this weekend's state party convention in Oshkosh passed a resolution calling for Congress to initiate impeachment proceedings against three officials for their role in the war in Iraq: Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld. Wisconsin Democratic Chair Joe Winicky. What happened here? Explain this.
In the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and I think in many states, there are resolutions that come both from through your congressional district conventions and from the floor, and there's a deep frustration in Wisconsin and I think throughout the nation amongst Democrats, especially relating to the Downing Street memo, and a belief that we've lost 1,700 of our soldiers over something that was pre-planned and perhaps even unjust. So there was a resolution passed. Look, I was in the state legislature 16 years. I doubt the Republican Congress is waiting for bated breath for this resolution. But it clearly sends a sense of frustration about what's happening in Iraq. You know, $200-300 billion could have been used for things like health care, conservation, infrastructure. No, we're wasting it in a country that doesn't even want us there.
Is that the biggest sin, the money, in your opinion, or is it the massaging of the intelligence that at least these memos are real? I mean, obviously, there were people that were asking serious questions about this that, right, the American people weren't hearing about.
If you're fighting a just war, it's going to cost a lot of money. And the question here is whether this was planned from the beginning, regardless. I mean, the Downing Street memo clearly lays that out. If nothing else, if the Wisconsin Democratic Party has helped keep the heat on this issue, because as you can guess, the righties over there in Washington, the last thing they want is this memo to stay alive. And if we can do something that can keep this issue going and hopefully get the media to pay attention, great.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
I was doing stand-up last weekend, and one of these people called me anti-American. And I don't understand, why don't they blame Bush? Isn't part of morality taking responsibility for your actions? What happened to respect for dissent? I mean, that's what democracy was built on, not narrow-minded belligerence and bigoting. It, you know, drives me nuts.
Morning's Edition, from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike, 92.1.
I'm sitting on a red velvet stool wearing a yellow bowler hat and holding a banana. All right? Oh, yeah, and I'm wearing a leash. A red velvet curtain opens and 200 vacant-eyed fat people sneer at me and tap the glass, even though the sign clearly says, please don't tap the glass. I hear a barker's voice. Come on, come all, step right up and gaze upon Mark, the lovable radio freak. All the way from the wilds of New Mexico, this bizarre man diva will astound you. Watch him battle to the death with hostile email. Watch him perform an amazing facsimile of radio talk show with teases and hard outs. You'll swear it's real. Watch Mark alienate his own kind by being too funny. Watch Mark bash organized religion and their phony gods. You won't want to miss Mark as he self-destructs with liberal guilt. His heartbreaking meltdowns will move you to tears. And don't forget his diet. You will witness this weight-conscious wonder eat carrots and kale raw. Then watch him shove chocolate cake into his mouth as fast as he can eat it. If there's any sitting within arm's length, you will hear Mark plug as many appearances at comedy clubs nationwide as often as 3 times an hour. 5 minutes with Mark and you'll want to take him home. Come on, Mark, do a little dance for the nice people. So I get up and dance a little hornpipe. And then hold out my yellow bowler. The fat people fill it with rocks and chewed gum. So I throw my poop at them. I woke up and my bed was filled with bearded ladies. And that part was true. Not really.
Mike, 92.1. Forward thinking, just like Madison. Now, more progressive talk from the Mike, 92.1.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Yeah, bring them on. Yeah. Yeah, you murderer, bring them on, because the pile of dead bodies isn't quite tall enough yet, right? So come on, bring them on. Keep killing them until Jesus comes back, remember? Huh? Jesus is all about mass killing, isn't he? At least according to this freak's twisted version of the Bible. So bring them on. Jesus wants more dead babies than American soldiers, Bush. It is difficult for me to contain myself when this stuff comes up every night. Are you finding the same thing? Huh? Oh, by the way, Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, emailed. It wasn't Sensenbrenner who introduced the resolution to repeal the 22nd Amendment. It was Steny Hoyer, a Democrat. He's a Democrat. Who introduced the bill? Sensenbrenner did sign on to it later. Thank you, Michael. But I swear to God, I wish there was some way. I wish there's some way to deal with it. Do you find this to be true? Let me tell you something. You ever see this? The cameras are on, either literally or figuratively speaking, and you have a bunch of people sitting around a table or at a hearing or an intense discussion, and everybody's getting pissed off, and this one's saying that, and this one's saying that, and you're a spectator. Because I've been in this position. You know, I'm a spectator. I'm watching this. I'm thinking, yeah, man, look at the fire. Look at the rage. Oh, God, yeah, look. These are people who have a lot more power than I do. These are people who have access to the media where I don't. These are, wow, look at this. And you see the debate going back and forth and the anger and everything. And blah, blah, blah. Then the cameras go off or the meeting ends or whatever. And it's like all of a sudden somebody lets the air out of the whole scene. And if they're the Democrats and Republicans or political opponents or whatever, ideological opponents, when the camera's on, they're just at each other's throats. When the camera goes off, it's, hey, so what do you think? You want to go get a beer? And if it's not political opponents, if it's not that, these intense people, whoever they are, I don't care who they are, media people, political people, whatever, the camera goes off, so to speak, literally or figuratively, and all of a sudden they change. It's like, oh, okay, enough theater. Okay, how was I? Did I look pretty good on that? Huh? Hey, come here. Was my hair okay out there? When I said that little bit there, when I really got red in the face, was that cool? Did I look good? Did I look intense? Now, have you ever noticed that? I'm not the only one who noticed that. Have you noticed that? And I want to scream because I think, just a minute ago, you were all fired up. Just a minute ago, you were saying, now, it's like the camera's off or the film stopped or the videotape, whatever it is, it stopped. And now what happened to your intensity? You mean that was just for show? Do you ever feel that? Have you ever seen that? Do you ever come to that realization that you're being jerked around? Huh? You know, that your emotions are being toyed with. Do you? Okay, so do I. And then I think about me. and my wife and my baby. And here we are in the studio at night, you know, and Kathy gets pumped, you know, when she puts this stuff together. But she doesn't get quite as pumped as I do because, you know, she's running the technical end of this program from this far, along with the, you know, the massive assistance from our crew in New York. But, you know, she's running this end of it. So I'm sitting here behind the glass. There's a glass between the two of us. I'm a little sound booth. I can look right in her face. She can look right in mine. She types stuff up on the screen here on the monitor. So, you know, if she's got something she wants me to say, she'll type it up. I'll say it. But she doesn't get as intense as I do. Okay, so we get around to 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and the show's over. All right? They play the theme music. We turn off the microphones. I got the promo for tomorrow's program. And shut everything down. Turn off the television that's running here in the background without the sound. Turn off the computer. Shut down the microphones. And I come out of my little hovel here, my little hole in the wall, my little glass enclosure. Molly's over here at the end of the studio, usually asleep, although she may be starting to wake up now because, you know, she kind of knows. Her body clock goes off. Ding, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Time for Mommy and Daddy to take me home. And I come out of this glass enclosure, this soundproof booth, and I'm usually just shaken. I am so just enraged. And for about 5 minutes, we don't say anything. Neither Kathy nor I say anything to each other because we're both still just real keyed. Thank God for Molly. Because Molly wakes up and is just like, hey, I'm 10 months old. I don't know what's going on. I'm 11 months old. I don't know what's going on. Hi, Daddy. Hi, Mama. She doesn't talk, but you know what I'm saying. And she's all smiles. And if I'm busy, Kathy will change her diaper. If Kathy's busy, I'll change her diaper. Hey, you're changing my diaper. Oh, goody, 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 goody. And we walk out of here. And we get in the car, and we do the 20-minute drive home. And usually on the ride home, Kathy will nurse the baby. And everything's quiet in the car. And we don't talk. We can't. Neither one of us can talk. 20 minutes later, we pull up to the house. It's all dark. Pull down the drive. Hit the garage door opener. Go inside. And we pour a glass of wine. And by this time, Molly's fallen back asleep. And either Kathy or I will take her upstairs and tuck her in, put her to sleep. And then we get down in the kitchen, me and Kathy, and we have a glass of wine. Sometimes it's a Beaujolais, sometimes it's a Merlot. And we love the Australian wines. Those are the hits right now. Jacob's Creek, what else do we get? Lindeman's. All of these Australian wines, Jesus God, they're good. And now it's about 45 minutes since we were on the air. And we sit there and we drink a glass of wine. And finally, we can talk. And it's like, you know, I just wonder about all these other people that I see. How do you pretend to be pissed off? How do you pretend to be angry because somebody is stealing your country? How do you pretend to be upset because they're napalming people and saying it's because we got to make America secure? How do you do that? How do you do it? And then when the cameras go off or the microphone's turned off, you walk out of the studio just like, hey, you want to go over and let's go get some sushi. Hey, man, what's happening? Hey, how are you today? How'd I look? How'd I look? Was my makeup okay? So anyway, Mike is calling from Illinois. Mike, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. It's your 13-year-old caller here.
Oh, hey. And, yeah, you sound like a 50-year-old man, but hey, Mike.
I'm angry tonight, and I'm not faking it. And here's why. While I was holding here, I was watching a David Letterman. He had Bill Clinton on.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave brought up the Downing Street memo. And Bill said, what's that?
No.
Yes.
No.
And Bill went to say on that it doesn't matter what happened in the past, that we're here where we are now and we got to be successful. I thought I was listening to Scott McClellan.
Oh, my God. You see, this is one of the reasons. People don't understand why I don't worship at the altar of Clinton. You know, he's a Republican. He's a warmonger. He signed on to NAFTA. He drove millions of jobs out of this country. So people made money in the stock market. Woo! So the budget was balanced. Woo, that's a good thing. So we started paying down the national debt. That's a good thing. But he was a Republican. I don't like Bill Clinton. Given a choice between Clinton and Bush, I would take Clinton because Clinton's more entertaining. But that's what he said, huh?
Yeah, and you know, Randy Rhodes, who I love and listen to every day, she always says that, as Steny Hoyer, which I'm shocked to introduce, she says she doesn't care if that happens because then Bill Clinton can run again. Randy, what are you saying? Look what this guy just said.
Well, there's a broad spectrum of political opinion amongst Democrats. You know that. We are not zombie robots. We are not from the land of the living dead. You know, you can have a Randy Rhodes and a Mike Malloy who basically agree on the same issues with the same intensity and still have shades of differences where it concerns certain people who are Democrats. You know, I've said before, I'm no longer supporting the Democratic Party, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, but I'm still a Democrat. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Okay. So if Randy supports Clinton, and I think he's a you know, overrated thug, that just shows the healthiness of people who are members of the same political mindset. We can disagree. We can be across the spectrum. And that you don't find that in the Republican Party. Republicans are all, every single one of them, are in lockstep to the same goal, which is the destruction of this country.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say there, as your guest said earlier, we have the hammers and the nails are right in front of us for Bush's political coffin, but we can only hammer those if we either win back just the House, which will get him impeached, or both the House and the Senate, which can throw him out. So we need to work in our sets, need to volunteer, you know, raise money better.
You're absolutely right, Mike. I don't think you're 13. I think you're about 35, and you just tell me you're 13, right?
I'm 13.
I believe you, Mike. Thank God for people like you. Mike got a boogie. Thank you, sir. Thanks for holding on. Appreciate it. You have a nice evening, okay? We'll be right back. Oh, so
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Huddled masses are still welcome. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
You finally found your radio station, so isn't it time you found your magazine? Right now is the perfect time to discover America's hottest, widest read journal of opinion, The Nation. Because right now, The Nation is absolutely free. Nobody, not Murdoch, not Time Warner, nobody owns The Nation. So nobody stops The Nation from exposing the frauds, follies, and felonies of George W. Bush and company. At last, that famous liberal media bias you can't find anywhere else. Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept their free four-issue mini-subscription. After 4 weeks, you can bail out. Just write cancel on our invoice. But I predict you'll be addicted and delighted to sign up for 24 weeks at just $13.95. That's just 58 cents a week. The Nation, risk-free, at readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. Call 800-999-6863 and accept four issues free. The Nation.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Jim Sansenbrenner from Wisconsin. He, at a hearing on the committee in charge of protecting our civil liberties like free speech, he told everyone to shut up, turned off the microphones, and took his ball and went home because he didn't like what he was hearing.
Thank you for coming. Now shut up.
Stephanie Miller.
Kurt and Madison.
You got to figure out what to do up here so to dump Senseless Brenner.
Senseless Brenner.
Oh, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
How are you doing in this fiscally irresponsible Republican era? Who do you got there, Chris?
Yeah, Mark, this is a little weird. We have you on line one.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Dude,
I'm calling from 50 years in the future.
That's possible? Well, cool.
I knew you wouldn't be freaked out about this, man. I mean, you're a visionary.
Well, hey, thanks, man. I never get that. So tell me, how did this happen?
Well, look, time travel is hard to explain, so let me simplify it. You know how you get 5 bars on your cell phone? Well, this is the 6th bar, and that's actually all I can tell you without messing up the time-space continuum thing.
All right, well, I'm good with that. That's cool. What's going on, man?
All right, well, this is weird. You know how they said the price of gasoline would go up a penny a day for, like, forever?
Yeah.
It did. Straight on through the fuel riots of 2020, and now a gallon of gas costs about $182.
I knew it. God, that's ridiculous.
Well, not really. Not really, if you think about it. Movie tickets are around $300, but you got to factor in everyone makes about $500K a year now.
Wow. Do we?
We'll talk about that off air. But the gas thing, people give it to each other as gifts, man. Married couples register at Texaco. People leave their gas tanks to their grandkids in their wills. It's like diamonds used to be before we learned how to make them out of meat.
What?
Never mind. The point is, gas is very valuable.
So, hey, Future Mark. Hey, buddy, you're breaking up here. What, they haven't fixed cell phone reception yet?
Since the comet hit, the planet slips off its axis every couple of hours. So there's a big shift. Some tidal waves and stuff. Everything grabs onto something. A couple of species drop out. You get used to it. All right, see? There. It stopped.
All right, so now the important stuff. What do I look like 50 years from now?
Well, the good news is, the stretch pants are very swimming. I'm just busting your hump, man. Look, we look the same, buddy. Everyone looks great in the future. I had a date with a 73-year-old last night. Smoking hot. Chicks not aging really opens up the whole playing field.
I'm not married anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're married, but you're not dead, buddy. Don't worry, man. After the whole AIDS thing got cured, the whole monogamy thing was like, you know, what's the point? Hey, you know, when scientists disproved the Bible, all that went out the window. Well, listen, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. That was a weird experience.
You know, you really haven't changed much in 50 years. That's all I can say.
Maddox, because it's on at 4 a.m. when I come home from work.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
You ever notice in that quote that Kathy plays frequently the kind of dreamy quality to this pig's voice when he said, oh, you know, we take lies sometimes. We take lies when we have to, you know. Thanks to our New York crew, Colin Tipton, Jason Isaac, and David Fizikas for putting the program tonight. Putting the program together tonight. Chris in Minnesota, Ben in Elgin, Illinois, Mark Marshall in New York State, and Jim in Arkansas, our out-of-studio crew. Thanks, everybody. And Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on as long as you did.
Hi, Mike. I think the new name we ought to have for our ABC and the alphabets ought to be the Lapdog Press.
Yeah, that's
what they are.
Of course, that's giving them more than they're worth.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't use the word we'd really like to call them. You know how that is.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, I think I was looking on the schedule a little bit earlier before I called y'all. They're going to repeat the hearing today in about an hour, I think, on C-SPAN. The Conyers hearing.
Yeah, okay.
If anybody wants to see it.
Well, folks on the West Coast, I guess, you know, it's just late as hell here, as you know.
Well, that's what the VCR's for.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true.
Let's see what I have. I wrote a couple of things down. Let's see. What was it? They had the 6 kill today that brought the total in Iraq for this month, half a month up to, was in the 40s already? And they're talking like at the end of the month, the boy idiot's going to come on and say how things are going great in Iraq.
Yeah.
And it's already past what it was a year ago. And they're going to say, oh, we're, and, you know, and there's Cheney every time going, oh, they're on their last legs. It's like, damn strong last legs.
I know. It's disgusting. And what this represents is death. and destruction and murder and mayhem and more death and American soldiers dying and American parents weeping and screaming into the night and Iraqi people dying and Iraqi parents screaming into the night. I hate this. I hate this.
I tell you the thing in the Congress hearing, oh, they're also repeating it like tomorrow night, like at 8 o'clock on the deuce again, on C-SPAN 2.
Right.
But the thing that was interesting was when they had the mother of the one of the soldiers. That was really touching.
Cindy Shan, yeah. who emails this program a lot, the woman who is one of the co-founders of Gold Star Families for Peace.
I tell you the best one. I saw the thing earlier with the News Hour. Mondale or I can't think of the gentleman's name. The ex-CIA agent who
had
been fired.
McGovern.
McGovern, that's, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I listened to him, and he was fascinating.
Yes, he was.
Because he was telling the story of September 20th. Did you hear this one? Where he was talking about that Tony Blair and his group came over on September 20th, right after September 11th.
Right.
They were having meetings at the White House, and said that he knows this because it's like in the memoirs of one of the officials for the British government who has retired, but it was in his memoirs where he said that George W. leaned over to Tony and told him that, you know, well, we're going to go into Afghanistan, and as soon as we're done with that, we're going into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now think, this is September 20th, 2001.
Right.
And I mean, it's like, and supposedly Blair agreed and all this, and it's like, well, hell, it's like we all known this. I mean, you know, we know this has been planned since the mid-90s, if not before then.
Yeah, that's right.
Just waiting for the right excuse.
Yeah, the PNAC, the Project for New American Century, these neoconservative mass killers who laid out these plans for American empire. This has been on the table, and those of us out here in the American public who are forced into ignorance because we don't have a media, or we didn't have a media in the 90s that could do anything other than report on the Bill Clinton and his girlfriend and the impeachment effort to get him out of office while all this stuff was developing. You have to go to the internet. You have to go to the blogosphere. You have to go to the websites that have been talking about this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Bush was speaking the truth when he said he hit the trifecta in reference to September 11th. The tragedy that this country suffered was a dream come true for this pig murderer. The best thing that could have happened to his disastrous presidency. You know, his approval rating now, the New York Times is reporting tomorrow, is down around 42%. When he decided to engineer an attack on this country, I think his approval rating was around 41%. So, you know, I answered an email tonight. There's going to be something horrible happen in this country again, and it's going to be engineered by the same murderers who engineered September 11th. And I don't believe for a second, not for a simple damn second, that 19 hijackers defeated the entire security apparatus of the United States government. And
help from the United States government.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the more I think about how we're supposed to believe that, the more my face just turns crimson. I get embarrassed. I can be by myself at midnight in a dark room, and when I think, oh, we're supposed to believe that, and I get embarrassed for my gullibility. You understand what I'm saying?
When you hear stories like Christine Raleigh and all these people, you know, who are out there saying, you know, look at this, and the people in Washington were going, oh, we don't need to look at that. I mean, the one that gets me the most, though, still has to be, here you have Condoleezza Rice, a month before it comes.
I've only got about 10 seconds here,
okay.
Luke.
And she actually gets promoted.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
the
well.
The biggest failure in the world, and she gets promoted.
Well, if they don't get promoted, they get medals. Luke, thanks. I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so now I'm going to do what I said I'd do, and what do we got, about half an hour, honey, before we can drink a glass of wine, right? Oh, my God. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I appreciate the support for this program. I'll see you tomorrow night, all right? Watch your back. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. It's not enough that a certain giant oil company pretends that global warming doesn't exist. Now it's behind an active campaign to confuse the subject. In May, Mother Jones magazine reported that ExxonMobil has given millions to fake scientists and junk journalists. Then last week, the New York Times reported that a senior White House official has repeatedly watered down government reports on global warming. Philip A. Cooney, the former oil lobbyist with no scientific training, has been altering reports to soften the conclusions. Also last week, the UK Guardian reported that the Bush administration consulted with ExxonMobil before deciding not to sign the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty. Let me repeat. The President of the United States was taking marching orders from the world's most powerful oil company. Get the real story on MotherJones.com and now on Mother Jones Radio. Hear Mother Jones Radio Sundays on Air America Radio. This has been a Mother Jones.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
I think the country's going in the wrong direction. I feel obligated to speak up if I see something that's wrong. That's what this is about. We're trying to win from North Dakota to Texas. That's all red states.
Straight talk is progressive talk.
Those are people in the middle. And if you're going to tell them they're not making an honest living, you're going to have a problem with them.
Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
This is Maria Clemmie from Oregon, and I am now a truth seeker, and I'm on the mic.
Streaming online at themike921.com, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just